United Nations is welcoming the 5 billionth person alive in the world.
The White House today denies reports the U.S. sent weapons-related equipment to Iran as late as last month. The recent scandal at the PTL ministry are taking a toll on the credibility.
Kim Baker resigned.
Well, so or toll free at 1-866-530-WSOM. Listen online at TracyandFriends.com or at 600WSOM.com. And now, here's Tracy Winbush.
Good afternoon and welcome to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. It's 1212 and here on the 1st of August. Can you believe it? Summer is like coming to a close. We're talking about fairs. Don't forget that the Columbiana Fair is going on right now and we want you to come out there. I'm going to go out there this weekend. So if you catch me, I think I'll give you a day and a time. So if you want to check with me, I'll probably be one of the most beautiful tan persons in the Columbiana Fair ground. So you'll know who it's me. So come out and just say hi. I'd love to say hello to you. But I plan on going down to the Columbiana Fair down in Lisbon. So please go out there and support the 4-H. Mark Mangi is here with me today. It is the first Thursday of the month. And you know he sits in me, and you know Mark knows it all. So
hey,
I called. No,
how you doing?
Your mic's not up. Your mic's not up. Call two. Call two over there. Just call two. Down the bottom. Down there. Just pull up down the bottom. Pull up two. He's with me, and I called this Know It All. That works a little bit more. It's called Know It All Thursday, and so we're here.
How about now?
Hey, oh, that is wonderful.
I'm here.
Hey, you're there.
Who am I?
Listen to that voice. It's the number is 347-945-5229. I want you to call in today. Hey.
Well, do I have a sexy voice?
Yeah, it's not bad, Mark.
Oh, jeez. Okay.
Oh, it's not bad. Not bad.
I listened to myself. That can't be me. Holy smokes.
Yes, it's you.
How you doing?
I'm doing good. I'm doing great.
I
can't believe you went to McDonald's. And you didn't even call me and say, do you want a burger?
You know what? I brought this today because I read an article, and I heard it on TV again today, that this is the perfect food. It's the best food in the world. And they talked about the guy wrote this book called The Food Police, and you ought to get him on here if you can sometime. And he, you know, his premise is that you get a cheeseburger at McDonald's. It has 300 and some calories. And it has a pretty good nutritional value, and that the food police don't like McDonald's and they're trying to shut it down. And he talks about going into poorer neighborhoods where people can get for a buck a third of the nutrition they need for the day in a McDonald's cheeseburger. And he said, you know, cost for nutrition can't be touched. If you do what all these other people want you to do, you're going to be paying 10 times more.
Mark.
Yes, ma'am.
I am trying. Look at this.
Yeah.
I've got, you know, rabbit and bird food over here, and you're sitting over there with a wonderful burger, and you ate it. You know, it had cheese on it.
Oh, yeah.
It was dropping with
and pickles.
And ketchup.
That was wonderful.
Jeez, oh, man. You didn't even bring the fries.
400 calories.
That's bad.
No, it's not. That's good.
That's bad.
That's good.
No, that's bad.
That's good. You got to get to 1,500 calories. Go what that dude did that did that stuff with Subway.
They lie. I eat Subway every day, and I gained 40 pounds by eating the bread. You came over there, and you ate a burger, and it was like, wow. No, Mark. McDonald's is bad.
Yeah.
The president said it's bad. I agree.
You found something you agree with.
Well, we agree that it's not good. It used to be a treat for kids. It shouldn't be a steady digest. We agree with that. But we don't agree with that if you don't want to do it. They found it unconstitutional for you to for 32 size drinks in the state of New York. You can't tell people what they can and cannot drink, can and cannot sell, and can and cannot buy. What kind of mess is that?
Hey, that's what they want to do. Got any good plans coming up this weekend? You're going to the fair?
I'm going to the fair.
That's good. Columbiana County.
Columbiana County Fair.
That's a beautiful county. Yeah. But I know you have a lot of listeners not from this area.
Yeah.
To go down to Columbiana, borders the Ohio River. And
that's
it is.
They hear more of us down there than we do up here.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
You're always complaining about the signal.
Yeah.
Our signal's great down there. So they're listening to us at the Columbiana County Fair, and
that's
down there they have a great signal.
Oh, well, good. They got a great county. I love Columbiana County, and
I'm going down there.
Go to the fair.
I'm going to the fair.
Support your fair.
I'm trying to find a way. I don't have a deep freeze, but I'm trying to find a way to get a cow or a pig.
You know, my brother used to buy one of those. He'd go to the Canfield Fair every year, and he'd buy a cow and he'd buy a pig. And he would have that thing butchered, and they'd put it in the freezer, and he'd send some meat over to me from time to time. And I would put it on the grill. It's different.
It's fresh.
It's different.
I know.
And there's a lot of, and there was the fat content in it was so high. When you put it on the grill, it would be like a sparkler. That stuff was sparking up all over.
Mark, they're not shooting it up with pesticides and insecticides and antibiotics. I talked to the guy the other day. It's a cow that actually loves being a cow.
Yeah, and he gets his, you know.
He gets love, even gets a name.
But at the end of the day, it's.
Yeah, how do you kill
your hamburger on the 4th of July?
How do you kill the kid's pet? How do you kill the kid's pet? You know, that's kind of cool.
Well, my wife's from a farm, and she never, and this is true, she never, ever had bought meat in a store until she married me.
So, ooh.
My mother-in-law would go out and butcher the chicken in a pole. They put the chicken up on the pole, and she'd chop the head off and bleed the chicken and then pluck the chicken. And it's a different world. You know, for me, I think, you know, God would not have invented grocery stores if he expected me to, you know, butcher a cow. I want to get mine from a friendly butcher from the prime case.
Prime case. He's messing up. Now, you don't have a pet, do you?
No, I don't.
Do you have friends with pets?
I've got lots of friends with pets.
Well, tell your friends with pets that when they need to take a bath,
yeah,
that they should go to the pet salon.
Okay.
The pet spa is located on Western Reserve.
Oh, yeah, I know that. It's a good place.
It's a wonderful place. She has been in business. Joy's been in business like 30 years.
Yeah.
And they do great jobs with the pets.
Yeah.
They do great jobs with cats and dogs, even hard-to-handle dogs, even wacky dogs, like mine.
Well, tell me about your wacky dog.
Oh, my God, I got a wacky dog. And she's in trouble because mommy's getting ready to take her to a training school, and
uh-oh,
she's ready to go to prison. Wacky dog. Poor dog.
Well, it's a good place to take your dog.
Get them groomed.
Get them groomed. You got to have good.
They can smell. You can make them smell. They found out that you can make them smell like coconut this month.
Oh, really?
Yeah, you can make them smell like coconut. And
wow.
They're located at 122 Western Reserve Boulevard, about a quarter of a mile heading east on Western Reserve past Glenwood.
Yes.
And you can call them at 330-758-4444. So if you need, I ought to get you a dog.
You know, we can't because my son's allergic.
Didn't I tell you break his plate?
What? know what? I got a dog, and I brought it home, and both my son and my wife are going to kill me. I named the dog Dolly, and my wife still refers to that Dolly dog. Now, it was a big dog, and you know, but the beautiful dog. It was an Aussie Collie mix.
Ooh.
And it was gorgeous, the most beautiful face. Just the most beautiful face. It lasted 3 weeks and back to the pound, and I was really upset when I had to bring Dolly back to the pound. And, you know, but the good news was that 2 days after I brought the dog back, its picture was on the front page of the Vindicator.
Oh, really?
And somebody adopted her, and I'm glad, because she was she ate the meat off of the counter. My wife had steaks on the counter, and Dolly was hungry, and she went and took the steaks. Dogs like that need to be able to run. I mean, they're high active dogs, they're herding dogs,
I mean, I don't understand why people do that. That's really kind of weird to me.
Now, my wife wants a little foo-foo dog. What kind of dog do you have?
I have a Jack Russell.
Oh, they're so cute.
They're independent.
Yeah.
I got a wacky dog. wacky dog. Love my dog.
What's the name?
Her name is Patches.
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 Cute.
And if I had, well, this is how the story went. My mom moved in with me.
Yeah.
And I'm a lover of pets. And if I had more yard, more money, and more time, I'd have more dogs, more cats, and more cows.
Okay. Cows.
Yeah. So my mom, I went out to a business meeting and brought home this dog. Now, my mom, she and I have a very, very good relationship.
Your mom's a sweetheart. I love your mother.
We almost got a divorce.
Uh-oh. Tell your mom she can move in with me. She can come move with me.
It was bad. I mean, it was bad. And then I tried to give the dog away, and I went out to Angels for Animals, and I'm crying all the way out there. I'm just nuts. I love this dog. This dog just bit my heart the first time I met her, and my mom was mad. You would have thought I brought in, you know, something crazy. She was furious about me bringing this dog. So I took the dog out there, and they said, well, we don't take dogs like that. I had to take the dog back home. I can't give the dog away, and I can't just, I love the dog. So I do like the regular, you know, kid. I'll take care of her. I'll take her to work. And I have no idea that a Jack Russell is that hyper.
Well, it's a terrier.
I didn't know. I mean, how do I know?
Terriers by nature are, you know, very energetic dogs.
I didn't know that.
Now you do. But you'll still love her.
Oh, man. That dog is psycho. And I would take her with me, and I don't train her. She trains me. I just train her to go outside. That's all. If she goes potty outside, that's all I need.
Yeah.
She can have everything else. My mom is yelling at me. So now she is under my mom's skin. My mom says, you know, you don't take care of this dog. This is my dog. You just visit the dog. But now she's in love with the dog, so we're cool. But I really thought we were going to, like, break up.
Yeah.
It was bad.
Dogs, you know, tug at your heart. I've always had a dog growing up, and the last one we had died when my son was, I'm going to say, 5 or 6, and he had a lot of problems, and it turned out the problem was he was allergic to the dog, and, you know,
We've elected never to have a dog again. But he's moved. He's a grown man.
You know, I thought maybe he'd get over it, but he still has to be careful. Now, he's not allergic to cats.
Oh, then we can get him a cat.
And we may be looking at a cat at some time in the future. But you know what? My wife is doing a lot of traveling right now, and you know that I'm busy from, you know, dusk to dawn, and that poor little critter would be sitting in that house all alone.
Well, then we get two. Hey, my favorite people from South Carolina, Alabama, your mics are on. How you guys doing
hey,
out
Tracy.
There?
Excellent.
Yeah,
Tracy, I have had 4 Jack Russells over the past 10 years.
Oh, then you know
years.
That they're wacky, don't you?
Oh, yeah, I know that they'll dig your yard up. They will dig your yard up, and if you don't do what they want you to do, they'll tear your furniture up.
Oh, no, 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 oh, no, 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 no.
Tracy,
no, no,
Tracy,
no.
I had to train him.
No.
My first Jack Russell that I got.
Patches doesn't dig because she doesn't like her paws to get dirty.
Oh,
it's just she's a persnickety dog. Then.
Yeah, persnickety.
Yeah, she doesn't. She doesn't do all that. I mean, she's good. She doesn't do. She chewed shoes when she was a puppy. She found out chewing shoes can make her die, so she doesn't chew shoes anymore either.
Okay.
She chews the favorite.
Well, the first one I got was a male Jack Russell, and it was supposed to have been my daughter's dog, but he had this bad habit of biting people's feet. And this one morning, I happened to be half asleep, and I came out with my little bedroom slippers on, and he went down and he chomped on my foot. And without missing a beat, I grabbed him by the neck of his neck, and I bit him right up on his ear. And he had never bitten anybody else on the foot. I mean, I bit him. Oh, man. The dog was screaming. My wife was wondering, what in the world happened to the dog? I said, he bit me, and I bit him back.
You're not supposed to do that.
Why not?
You're not supposed to bite the dog.
Why
you're just supposed to correct the dog.
When you get mad at the dog biting you, you do what you got to do.
That's like my cousin. My cousin was a little young man. I hope he's listening. And a dog bit him, and he bit the dog back.
Yeah.
He didn't know any better. I mean, he bit the dog. Dog bit him, he bit the dog. I'm not supposed to bite the dog.
Why not?
I don't know. I'm going
to
call. You better be careful. I'm going
to
call PETA on you.
Go ahead. Hey,
yeah, Alabama.
Yeah, I wanted to, change the subject from puppies and dogs for a second.
Wait a minute, Alabama. We just trying to do it right for a minute. Hold up. We just speaking and you trying to come
up. Oh, boy.
Hold on. Hey, not so blind, Mike.
Hey, man, he's
trying to get into the meat of the day already. We got 2.5 hours to go. I got a break.
Well, Alabama, you're going to talk about what? Rhinos, giraffes, and water buffalo instead of dogs? I mean, where are we going to go with this?
I was going to talk about rhinos. It's funny you say that.
I wasn't getting political. Oh, whoops, forgive me, Lord.
Mike, you didn't try to listen, Mike. We're just trying. It's Thursday. It's almost Friday. Hold up. We're going. I promise you. Hold on. Give me 2 minutes. Let me take a break. Let me take a bathroom break. And then, Alabama, when I come back, I'm going to let
DMI,
you lose. And you can talk.
DMI.
I'm going to let you lose. But, you know, we were talking about food and hot dogs and kids. And
it's summertime. It's August. These are the dog days of summer, and we got to, you know.
And he wasn't talking about rhinos. There's no such thing as a
We do that here where we work. Our employees bring their dogs, and I've got a half-acre fenced in, and they all play together and everything. It's great. And all day long,
awesome.
I've got dogs to give treats to and everything else, and we rescue dogs.
See, that's what I'm saying. We're talking about pet salons and taking the dogs there and painting their toenails. You know that kind of stuff. Hold up, Alabama.
Oh, no.
That's
taking it to the extreme now, painting toenails. Now, that's crazy.
Me, you paint the dog's paws.
My family used to dress
their
dogs.
No, you don't.
They had little rat dogs, little foo-foo dogs.
Poo-poo dogs.
You know, they're not really dogs. I don't know what the heck they are. You know, my wife loves them. You know, you want to hit them because they just look at you, you know, and they go.
I know which ones you're talking about. Yep, and they dress them. They put them in.
And they dress them, and they put them in kerchiefs, and they put them in little things, and they take them.
I do that. I was too cheap to buy this collar. I should have bought the princess collar because my dog is a princess. But I had a bad, you know, it's like watching cats and dogs, you know, getting them dressed up in tutus and fufus. Hold up, let me take
my
break.
You listen to... Then they wonder why neurotic pets exist.
Hey, the number is 347-945-5229. We're going to take a break. We'll be right back. You're listening again to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600.
With your headline news. A house explosion in Youngstown blew out neighbors' windows and shattered glass blocks away. It happened on Cohasset Drive yesterday. No one was inside of the house, and it's unclear what caused the explosion, but firefighters say the gas was on. Youngstown will soon have a high school for autistic students. Construction crews are hard at work transferring an old insurance building on Market Street into the potential development high school for autism. The three-story building with 8 classrooms is set to open this fall and is still accepting students. It'll be the third school of its kind in Ohio. The school will offer speech therapy classes, life skills, and it'll have a fine arts learning center. The school is still looking to raise more than $500,000. And Warren City Council members are looking at legislation that might cut down on copper theft. A councilman is proposing that scrapyards be required to wait 24 to 48 hours before paying for metals. The councilman says that way workers can determine if the metal was obtained legally. For WSOM News, I'm Harper Keegan.
The assassination of President John F. Kennedy continues to fascinate researchers. Who was Jack Ruby? And what was his association with Lee Harvey Oswald, the suspected assassin of JFK? Find out as the Victorian Players and J&B Production Art Services present Sparky from Chicago by J.E. Ballantyne Jr., running for 3 weekends from July 19th through August 4th. For reservations, call 330-746-5455. That's 330-746-5455.
Do you depend on your computer? Then you know that a virus on your computer is bad news. But there is something you can do. Just call this number, 330-759-9700. That's 330-759-9700. That's the number for Ambassador Technologies in Liberty Township. Ambassador Technologies specializes in virus removal and restores your computer to full performance. We also specialize in computer repair, from desktops, laptops, laptop screens, laptop power supplies, laptop batteries, and hardware updates. And when your business needs networking, Ambassador Technologies is the place to go. Ambassador Technologies, Youngstown's best for computer repair, networking, website development, and even low-cost business cards and publishing. Call Ambassador Technologies at 330-759-9700. Online at ambastech.com. That's ambassTech.com.
If you're ready to take control of your own destiny in a new career, consider a career in radio. Here's Brad Marshall, sales manager at Cumulus Radio.
Cumulus owns and operates over 500 radio stations in the U.S. in 120 cities. Locally, we have offices in Hermitage, Canton, and Youngstown. In addition to these opportunities, Cumulus is seeking a local sales manager in Youngstown. If you have outdoor sales experience and are a go-getter and want to work in a fast-paced, challenging career in radio, send me your resume.
Email your resume now to brad.marshall@cumulus.com. We're an equal opportunity employer.
Provocative, passionate, award-winning. It's the Valley's new home for Sean Hannity, right here on Newstalk 600, WSOM.
I walk my dog every day.
We walk every morning.
And I've got the best-looking dog in the neighborhood named Stanley. He's a collie mix.
Teddy is a rescue dog. He's a lab.
We meet the same people every day.
People comment about what a beautiful black coat he has.
They'll tell me, oh, he's so soft and he's so silky.
There's a difference when I compare Teddy to the other dogs.
And these dogs that have the brittle hair, it's coarse. It doesn't lay nice. It's not shiny. It's dull. I tell them about Dinovite.
DINOVITE.com.
859-428-1000.
I've told them this is what I use.
The omega-3 fatty acids.
Flaxseed, zinc, alfalfa.
The digestive enzymes that are cooked out of regular dog food.
And it really made his coat shiny.
You know, it didn't take very long. They've got their nice, expensive jogging suit on, and their dog has their smooth, beautiful, soft, shiny coat. So now their dog looks just as good as they do.
859-428-1000.
859-428-1000.
DINOVITE.com.
1-800-530-WSOM or 347-945-5229. Call in now to talk to Tracy and friends on Newstalk 600 WSOM.
Listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. The number is 347-945-5229. And I want to know what y'all think about my new bumper music for today.
What's your name?
His name is Steve Earle.
Steve Earle. I got to write that down. I Tracy, for those of you who don't know, has got exquisite taste in music. I download more stuff, and I come on her show twice a month. I take a list, and Amazon's real happy because I'm downloading lots of stuff.
That's good. That's good. But yeah, I have Steve Earle, one of my friends of mine. They came and told me about this, and it's about thinking about. It's a song called "Thinking About Burning Walmart Down."
Oh, okay.
And everybody knows I'm not a Walmart girl, so.
Do we want to? We're not going to burn Walmart down.
Why not?
I don't want to burn Walmart down. I don't go there, but I don't want to burn it down.
Not the point. I'm not a Walmart fan. Does that mean I'm gonna get the sponsorship?
I don't think so. Before you get going, I want to give one plug because I heard the commercial.
The Victorian Players. You always plugging people in the art.
I know,
man.
We went down last week to see Sparky in Chicago, and it has to do with Jack Ruby and its involvement in the Kennedy assassination. It's a great show. It was written by Jack Valentine, who's the director down there. And I didn't know this because he was on your show a couple weeks ago. He and I were on together. He is a noted expert on the Kennedy assassination. And it's very disturbing. And after the show, he and the cast have a seminar after with Q&A. And it's interesting stuff. It's scary stuff. And, you know, for those of my age who, you know, remember where we were when Kennedy was assassinated, it was really, really fascinating stuff. I think we're watching PBS last night, and he did a thing on the Lindbergh baby. They said there were three assassinations that left their mark on American history: Lincoln, then there was the Lindbergh baby's murder, and Kennedy's assassination that touched the core of America. And
now, why wasn't Martin Luther King in that?
Yeah. I would have said that.
That's an absolutely good question. Ask PBS.
But the question is, why wasn't he in that? Because I think that is the problem with our society today.
Yeah.
Because Lincoln was a pivotal, you know, assassination that wrecked everyone's world.
Uh-huh.
And then so was Kennedy. But they forget that Martin Luther King's death changed the world.
Yeah, it certainly changed the nature of the civil rights movement. I mean, it just,
sure.
You know, how it went forward from that point.
And it changed America.
I was at the Youngstown Playhouse the night Martin Luther King was assassinated.
Wow.
And it came through. I mean, they stopped the play to announce, you know.
Wow.
So
the question is, when you look at pivotal moments, this is where, and I'm going to let Alabama in so he can get to his topic, but this is where the disconnect of America comes from, because we don't include, and it wasn't because I don't remember where I was, because I wasn't old enough, but because of the impact that the person had and the impact on his death that he had. You have white and black and Americans across the country that remember that.
Really, I remember where I was when Kennedy was assassinated, when Martin Luther King was assassinated. I don't remember where I was when Bobby Kennedy was assassinated, but I didn't like him.
But where were you when Lincoln was assassinated?
I was somewhere in the loins of my forefathers in Abruzzi in Italy.
You know you will not be there.
We were herding goats in Italy.
Hey, Alabama, go ahead and talk about your dinosaurs.
No, I tried to do a little, I couldn't sleep last night, so I started looking up some stuff about Ron Paul.
Alex, yeah.
I hadn't even talked to Alex. I just yesterday when we talked briefly about, then he did tag us in that thing in Facebook.
Yes, he
did. But we all know about the foreign policy thing that people just say he wants to let everybody kill each other. But the thing that really kind of gets to me is not his policy. It's how everybody ganged up yesterday. Well, not yesterday. I mean back last year specifically when he was running, how everybody ganged up, how they cheated him at the convention, and how the media, like there were times where he would either win or he'd be in second. They would ignore him. There were polls, there were like caucuses he was leading, and they would put him at the end. When somebody's leading, point wise, they'd be at the top, they'd have him at the bottom. They would ignore him, skip over him. And it was both Democrats, Fox News, it was MSNBC, everybody, and even newspapers. And I'm just starting to realize, like, because I wasn't really paying attention to it as much during the election, but it just seems like to me, they really feared this guy, and it wasn't because of what they're telling you. I think it's because liberals should love a guy like Ron Paul. They should. And conservatives, he should be at least moderately covered. And then when they started showing how much he got covered, you're talking about he got mentioned twice out of everybody else got mentioned 80, 90 times over the coverage, and he got mentioned twice. Then it makes you think about, you know, who we're really dealing with and who we're when. That's why, hence the Republican in name only, because it's almost like they are acting against really fixing problems. They're not really trying to come with real solutions. They're just about this party's in this time, we're in next time. We're going to keep real people that want to come in and solve problems out. I have a problem with that.
The more I learn, the more I realize more people don't know what's going on around them. You're probably right that you should have equal access to the news outlets. But
I mean, he won Maine, Tracy. He did. They cheated. They outright skipped counties. The Republicans did.
Listen to what I'm saying. I can't until I research it, and you can't go by because it's on the internet. It's true.
No, I'm not saying because on the internet. Mitt Romney won Maine by 150 votes.
Alabama, listen to what I'm saying. Didn't I just let you talk? Well, let me finish. What has happened, and then what is happening here in the election process, in the information age, is that we are not good at deciphering and or understanding propaganda. And your news agencies have agendas. When I say this to everyone and everybody looks at me like I'm strange, you think that you pick a president. You think that you actually select and you vote for a president or your congressman, not even realizing that it's not lobbyists and it is a machine who allows people in to allow you to select the three people that they put before you. Do you understand that?
I mean, that's what I'm saying. That's what I was trying to get at. And the machine works with the – it's like Democrats are – they work – they give a concerted effort to keep other people that logically think, okay, let's do real math instead of just doing fuzzy math. Let's do real math and say we don't have the money.
This is not about America. It's about agenda. And until America and Americans and the people and the citizens of America actually wake up and quit marching for Trayvon and start marching for education, we will always be talking about this. You have to understand it was Democrats and Republicans that watered down your media, that changed it into this ideal of, I don't know what you call news today, but it's not factual. I don't care where you get it. You don't know what you're getting. You're getting what I want you to know.
Let me ask you this. The media has affected the way people think. They're telling us now we got to vote. Chris Christie's got to be our guy next time. They're going to set us up with the weakest guy we can give them, and then they're going to take, just like they did with Mitt Romney, the weakest candidate, but they kept saying for 4 years, he can win. Then when he got the nomination, they took him apart. That's what they're going to do with Chris Christie. So,
but you got to understand, Chris Christie's not even a conservative. But Chris Christie's
not even a conservative. Well, I know, but they're just saying, they're going to say, we're going to have to run somebody. They're probably going to run Hillary or Michelle Obama, and it's going to be the first woman, and then there's going to be a big mess about women's rights, and Chris Christie's going to get the nomination. Go ahead.
Sweetheart, listen to this. Until we actually start taking ownership of what we feed ourselves on,
and change our priorities. Chris Christie's not going to be the nominee. I doubt it very, very seriously.
I'm just saying that they give us, they fed us, they spoon-fed us, what's his name, Giuliani for some years, then he didn't get it, right? But they gave us McCain. It's all,
listen, this is not about giving us, look at this, how this happens. They're not giving you anything. You're taking something that somebody's put out there. Remember, McCain went broke. I don't understand how McCain got there, and I like John. Don't get me wrong. Go ahead, Mark.
I agree in the sense that the media and the press, you know, it's not that they spoon feed us. It's just that they're the gatekeepers to what we know.
The information.
And the information is out there. When you have the vast majority of Americans getting their information from the three major networks, and you can't get the news through the major networks because they refuse to report it, we've got serious, serious problems. I don't think many Americans are like us that go to look for alternative sources to find out what's going on, but to get to what's going on, you've got to go to alternative sources. Not only does the press act as the gatekeeper, people still believe them. And I can name, you know, I can name 10 examples of folks who believe what they hear on the Today Show or the Good Morning Show like it's gospel. And never
or
ask
Fox
a
News.
And if I question them, if I sit down and talk with people and question them about it, they look at me like I'm some sort of a nutcase.
Look at this, guys. We allowed the press, the media allowed this statement to come across the lips of Nancy Pelosi's mouth. We can't find out what's in it until we pass it. And she got a pass.
You know, I'm just tired of, you know, I watched CNN the last two nights. They have shifted their focus from Obama. They don't care about Obama anymore. They've shifted their focus to Hillary. The babe that runs the CNN, the White House correspondents, honest to God, I thought she was going to pop a gut the last two nights talking about Hillary. She's shaking and laughing and as if she, this is supposed to be a news reporter. And I'm watching this. It's just like she's, you know, got the pom-poms out and put an H on the girl's chest. I've never seen anything like it.
Well, this is the problem I have. I see what you're saying. But
what they did for Obama looked like nothing.
Correct.
But then I'm saying, when you look at this situation and then you turn around and you look at, I'm a conservative, right? I wish Romney had to beat Obama. I can't stand Obama. But at the same time, Romney was the worst candidate. I didn't want him, right?
Hold on.
Let me make a point. And then you look, the Bill O'Reillys, the Sean Hannitys, everybody said Romney can win. He gets in there, fumbles it up, loses, and now he comes out, well, I didn't really want to win. I feel like a guy like Ron Paul, if you look at his fiscal stuff, you look at his, even on most of the social stuff, excluding, of course, marriage, but most of the stuff, he lines up. I mean, okay, even on foreign policy, I don't really see nothing wrong with leaving people alone. Now, Iran, we can have some sort of diplomacy. We could do something. But he made a point on that thing Alex posted about, you know, those guys aren't respected, and maybe they're doing it for that reason. You know, it just, to me, it seems like we're being herded as cattle into how we're supposed to look at
it
stuff.
And again,
if you're Republican, you got to think this way. Because that's one thing with Glenn Beck that turned me off. Glenn Beck said, well, if Ron Paul gets the nomination, I'm voting for Obama. That's how far he went with it. Because
I can be in love with Obama, and it's going to be okay. The question is, the problem is they don't give you the information when you need it. We need to see. I'm not a Ron Paul fan, so I doubt. No matter what, Ron Paul's never going to get my support like that. I was not a fan of Ron Paul, not in that way. There are some things that I appreciated about him, and I would like to see some of his initiatives be on the forefront. But as a leader and as a president, he would not be my perfect choice. He wasn't.
Yeah, look, they tried to steal his steam. They didn't, but they tried by saying, hey, we're going to adopt, I think Santorum said something about adopting the audit the Fed. from, you know, from Ron Paul since his last time running. We need to. You hadn't heard anything else about that. You think they're going to audit the Fed? No. Look, people, like we every year we're going to give us, somebody's going to come along and say something logical, and everybody's saying, well, because of this, I can't vote for him, so I'm going to vote for this guy. It's like everybody tried to siphon off the logical part of Ron Paul. Well, I agree with him here, but, you know, I'm going to go ahead. I'm going to be the hybrid. If you're going to be the hybrid, you're not going to get. You're going to get in there, and then you're not going to get the nomination because they're going to take the most liberal guy.
You're looking at this wrong. You're looking at this. You're looking at this from a novice viewpoint. What I'm saying to you is, it begins way before this. This is a game, and it's a very, very well thought out game. And until we take our head out of the clouds and really start looking at some of the in-depth of how people get there, it's bigger than just Ron Paul.
I think coming up on this election, we're going to see some interesting things going into the presidential election. One of the things that people like you and me and probably most of your listeners are going to have to do is you're going to see, I think, a major realignment of people working together for president in the next election. I think, and I'm not sure how that's going to play out. You look at people who the pro defense people who are traditionally Republican, who are going out and defending a lot of this NSA stuff. The story keeps getting worse by the day. It's the Democrats who are promoting that right now. And the anti-fracking crowd, I was out up in Warren last week with a bunch of union guys. And the chamber and the union all together in one building working for a common cause.
Yeah.
That's interesting. I'm not sure how the alignments are going to shake out, which is why I'm thinking who I want for president and who I think can win president are probably going to be two different things. But I think given the nature of the alignments that are coming out of what's going on in the country right now, I'm going to guess that Christie's probably going to be the best bet to win because he's going to be dealing with people. He has to appeal to two groups of people. And these people are traditionally together. We're on opposite ends of the spectrum. When you've got the far right and the far left coming together on security, when you have the far right Republicans and the moderate Democrats looking at NSA and that sort of thing, what are the issues going to be? Who can appeal to this new coalition that may be forming for the 2016 election?
Well, see, that's the problem. I disagree with you wholeheartedly, and I'm going to tell you why. Because Ron Paul appealed to a broad spectrum of Americans, can I finish, Tracy? The people in the rooms making the decisions are the people that he's talking about. He was just talking about.
No.
But the people that, when you're talking about the masses of what most people wanted, Ron Paul would probably fit. That's why they ignored
Ron Paul, as bright as Ron Paul is, Ron Paul was so far right that he couldn't get a seat at all the tables, because he would say something that you would really bite into, and then all of a sudden he would go somewhere totally so far off the cliff it would turn you and be like, no, this can't work.
Yeah,
like what?
Like Ron Paul?
Hold on, Alabama.
When people like Ron Paul going after the Federal Reserve, and he does, and I don't say he's necessarily wrong, but you know, his dad, I believe, wanted to abolish it altogether.
That's Rand Paul.
Yeah, this guy, I don't know where he stands on it. Libertarians are an interesting group. Traditionally, libertarians would be against the Federal Reserve, and they're isolationists.
Yes.
And I can't fall into either one. I mean, I would think those are both mortal mistakes to the country.
They remind me of...
Well, why are they mistakes when we did it for the first
100
years?
They remind me of uneducated Tea Party people who want to turn a ship so fast it will make it capsize. That's what they remind
me
of.
Who's saying that?
Listen, Ron.
Saying,
listen, when you listen
Paul
to Ron
did
Paul,
not say that. I've heard him out of his mouth say that. He didn't say get rid of the Fed in a day.
Listen,
come on, Tracy.
I don't care what you said. I'm telling you, when Ron Paul says we ought to legalize marijuana, we ought to come out of all the wars and not be anywhere, you can't get Republicans on that bandwagon. That's just crazy. It's not going to happen.
Okay, okay, okay. So, all right, let's see what you say. Okay, let's look at this objectively. Okay, with Ron Paul, everything you said is going to be some trouble, right? But at least we'll still have a country. With Chris Christie, we're going to get much of the same thing. Keep printing dollars, and in probably about 10 years, America's going to crush. There will be no America because we're going to keep printing dollars if the Republican nominee gets
it. I'm trying to tell you. And I'm almost sure that Chris Christie will not be the nominee. Now, if you want to wager on that today,
whoever gets it is going to keep printing money. The only guy that was talking about saving the country, period, is Ron Paul. Everybody else is going to give you the same thing, right?
Listen, Ron Paul's not going to make it. Rand Paul, they're trying to crucify right now, and Chris Christie is going to be just like Hillary Clinton in 2008. He's going to blow up, and then he's going to fizzle out.
Name me one guy that's talking about fixing it.
We ain't talking about what they're talking about. Remember, it's like the rabbit and the hare.
I would not be surprised to see Chris Christie try the third party route.
I would not be surprised by that. I would not be surprised by that. But as far as him being the nominee from the Republican Party, I just don't see that.
Everybody's name you dropping is not trying to fix the real problem, and this country's going to be over within the next decade.
Most of the people that are out there don't care about fixing the problem. They're caring about getting the power. And we
now
need
we
to understand
somewhere.
This is not about fixing the problem. This is about getting the power of the seat for their own personal agenda. The question is,
when will
America wake up? But it's not
Rand Paul. Okay, Tracy, let me see this. Okay, I see what you're saying, right? So the guy that wants to fix the problem, they don't care about that. So anybody that we all vote for is going to destroy, is going to contribute to the destruction of it, right? You're not voting for them.
You're not voting for them.
Fixing the problem removes themselves. If they fix the problem, they remove all power from themselves.
They don't. That's the problem.
They don't have any power anymore.
Because in the Constitution they still have a power. They just don't. They're not. They would probably be if the problem was fixed. Let me tell you what. If the problem was fixed,
Alabama,
then we won't have lifetime politicians.
They don't want constitutional power. They don't want the constitutional power. That's not enough for them. They want the kind of power that Leonid Brezhnev had and Nikita Khrushchev had, and those guys. That's the kind of power they want. They want the kind of power that Fidel Castro and Raul Castro and Hugo Chavez has.
So let me ask you this, South Carolina. Whoever gets the nomination is probably going to want that same power you just described, right? Republican or Democrat, right?
No, I'm talking about progressive.
You're looking at this Republican-Democrat thing, and we're trying to tell you this far beyond that. You're walking into one world order with your eyes wide shut.
Well, I'm not. That's what I'm trying to tell you. That's what I'm saying.
But I'm not talking about you may not, but the rest of America is. And they're not. And until you actually, right now, until you actually get engaged in the process, you're not voting for a president. You're selecting one of the three I give you. And based upon how much money I give them and how much spin I put on them, it will be who they will win and who will be there.
Well, let me ask you this. Let me ask you a question. This is something. Now, I agree with you 100%, but I feel like let's look at Maine, right? Enough people came out in Maine for him to win, for Ron Paul to win, right?
Listen, so what?
Yeah, wait. Go look it up. There's a bunch of counties. They just put zero votes. Okay, well,
no.
All right, I understand. Well, this is what I'm saying. Make it where they have to cheat.
It makes it so blatantly obvious
that they're cheating. One day somebody going to say, you know what, I'm going to go to
Alabama,
this county. It's
Alabama,
zero
if it was that obvious,
I'm going to go check.
Listen.
Go ahead.
You got your head in the clouds. They're not that obvious when they cheat.
What you want? All right, Tracy, give me some practical. You say that every day. Give me something practical to do. Is you saying that you get like, it's almost like I'm just, what I say don't make sense. So give me something practical to do. Because it's like everybody's blind and don't got the answers. Okay, what's the answers? Give me something practical. that I can do to try to at least change the situation? Because when I call and say something
I
think
Alabama,
is logical,
you're
telling
me
I'm wrong.
Are you a precinct committee person where you live?
Say what?
Are you a precinct committee person where you live?
I just got up here. I'm on a project. I just got in Atlanta. I've been in Atlanta about 5-6 months.
Okay,
so give me some time. Give me time.
Okay. So what I'm saying is, if you want to know how to get there, you get there. If you want to change things, if you don't vote Republican, you join the Republican Party. You don't become.
I've been joining Republican Party.
No. You vote Republican. You're not a part of the party. And when I come back, I'll tell you the rest. You're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. The number is 347-945-5229. We'll be right back.
Your favorite station now plays around the world. Listen wherever you go with iHeartRadio. That's the free app that plays this station, plus over 1,500 stations with the latest music, news, sports, and more. If you're going there, don't miss what's happening here. You can listen on your iPhone, iPad, Android, Windows Phone, and lots more. Exactly what you want to hear is right
here. WSOM, Salem, Youngstown, Warren. The home for afternoons with Tracy and friends. News Talk 600 WSOM.
Cleveland, Michelle Knight. You took it.
Hello.
Yeah.
Alabama, you there?
I spent 11 years in the show.
Yeah, this is Mike. How are you?
I'm all right.
More on the sentencing phase of Castro's trial from ABC's Scott Goldberg.
Ariel Castro says he's truly sorry, and to this day he's trying to answer his own questions about why he held three women in his home for about a decade and repeatedly abused them sexually. He said he's addicted to pornography, but knows that's not an excuse for what he did to Michelle Knight, Amanda Berry, and Gina DeJesus. He said, I just hope they can find it in their hearts to forgive me. In return for his guilty plea, he'll be spared the death penalty, but will spend the rest of his life in prison. Scott Goldberg, ABC News.
Living with mom and dad well into adulthood, a new report finds a steady rise in the share of young people living in their parents' home. 36% of young adults, 18 to 31, lived at home in 2012, the highest share in four decades. Factors? Unemployment, rising college costs, and declining marriage rates. Richard Fry with the Pew Research Center.
Clearly, there's a gender difference. About 40% of millennial men are living with mom or dad versus about 32% of millennial women. That's a long-standing gender gap that still is present.
Legislation to lower the cost of getting a student loan is now waiting for the president's signature. Congress has passed a bill that initially sets the interest rate on a new Stafford loan at 3.9% for undergrads. Same-sex marriages became legal in Rhode Island and Minnesota at midnight, bringing the number of states allowing gay marriage to 13. This is ABC News.
Hey, what you doing?
I'm online looking at a satellite view of the neighborhood.
Huh. What's with all the dots?
Green means it's for sale, yellow means sold.
Gotcha. Hey, is that the house we looked at?
Yeah, I love it. Maybe we should talk to a realtor, make an offer.
Did that house just go from green to yellow?
Yeah, sold right before our very eyes.
Buyers are in the market, but there's a shortage of homes for sale. If you've been thinking about selling, now may be the right time. Every market's different. Call a realtor today and visit realtor.com. Realtors are members of the National Association of Realtors.
For people with Identity Guard identity theft protection, life is good. Really good. That's because they bank and shop on their computers and mobile devices, knowing Identity Guard is there to protect them. Right now, you can get Identity Guard for less than $1 a day. Sign up at identityguard.com/dollar. Act now and get free protection for your kids, the latest targets for identity thieves. That's identityguard.com/dollar. Identity Guard. Life is good.
The Great Recession baby bust is over. ABC's Larry Jacobs reports on the latest fertility forecast.
It's a measure of consumer confidence, more specifically the confidence to conceive. In a preliminary fertility forecast released by Demographic Intelligence, the declines in childbearing in the wake of the Great Recession are over. The rate is predicted to rise from a 25-year low of 1.89 children per woman in 2012 to 1.90 this year. The Population Reference Bureau notes that the fertility rate says something about people's optimism for the future, but it's not the only factor. A CDC survey indicates that women who attend religious services have more kids than those who rarely go. Larry Jacobs, ABC News.
Millions of Americans get inked each year, but a new study suggests that getting a tattoo over a mole or birthmark may not be healthy because that can mask skin cancer. Researchers in Germany pointed to the case of a young man who developed melanoma and a pre-existing skin lesion. Joan Bennett, ABC News.
Hi, I'm Joan London, and if you're worried about your parent or a loved one living alone like I was, and you want reliable senior care information, then call A Place for Mom, the nation's largest senior living room.
Everyone faces challenges in their lives. Handling it on our own sometimes is too overwhelming, but Turning Point Counseling can help. Turning Point offers the highest quality, individualized, confidential behavioral health care. Our professional and caring staff can help you or your loved one get started on the road to recovery today. Turning Point Counseling, because behavioral health care is health care. Don't wait. Visit our website for more information or call today for care. Everybody faces challenges in their lives. Sometimes these challenges can be too much to handle on our own. That's where Turning Point Counseling can help for depression, anxiety, suicidal thoughts, drug and alcohol abuse and addiction, personality disorders, crisis intervention, and more. Turning Point also provides residential services in our crisis stabilization unit for those who need inpatient care. Turning Point Counseling Services, helping you on the road to recovery.
Local restaurants, shops, salons, and more with savings of 50 to 90% every time. Live more, spend less. Download the mobile app now.
Now that's a real sweet deal.
SweetJack.com.
Go ahead, Swift 1-2.
Sergeant Dale Beatty was wounded by a roadside bomb.
Columnist Swift 1-2 is en route with urgent ASAC to Mercy. ETA approximately 35 minutes. How copy?
Now begins the most important journey of his life.
Roger, Swift 1-2.
From the battlefield to home. Home to some very good medicine. His family's love. They'll be staying together at one of the many Fisher Houses to help Dale get better and return to his life. Fisher House Foundation provides comfortable housing and other services to the families of wounded warriors and veterans while they receive care at military and VA hospitals. Fisher House is among the highest rated charities, with 95% of donations going to help our military families in their time of greatest need. Remember those who serve and sacrifice. Consider a tax-deductible gift to Fisher House. Fisher House, because a family's love is good medicine. Go to fisherhouse.org for more information.
When you want your morning cup of coffee to come with the latest local and national news, tune to News Talk 600 WSOM every weekday from 6 to 9 a.m. The latest news when you need it. And Youngstown's best talk, News Talk 600 WSOM. Welcome to Afternoons with Tracy and Friends, the local talk show that stimulates your mind and keeps you thinking about things going on in your world. From local issues to topics of global importance, Tracy and Friends keeps you informed and keeps the conversation going. Call to talk to Tracy and Friends at 347-945-5229, 330-781-9600, or toll free at 1-866-530-WSOM. Listen online at tracyandfriends.com or at 600WSOM.com. And now, here's Tracy Winbush.
Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. The number is 347-945-5229, and it's 7 minutes after the hour of 1 o'clock here on the first day of August. And Mark Mangy's in the studio with me.
Hey, Tracy.
I want to hear from you guys today. It is an open mic. It's you know, we know it all. And I'm going to tell Alabama now that I understand this. Mark and I, we were talking during the break, and he said something very, very profound that I hear often. People have been taught that politics is dirty. Everything that you touch, everything that you touch has a legislative piece to it, whether you like it or not. Your clothes, your hair, your house, your bathrooms, your bedrooms, your linens, your silverware, your car, your kids, your education. We have allowed legislation and government rule
to interfere to the point that politics is a part of your everyday life.
And it's going to get worse because of the health care.
Oh, that's going to just kill you.
Yeah.
And because you have allowed this to happen, your absence from the process, and I talked to a girlfriend of mine last night, your absence from the process has caused the demise of the future. Because people are mad at Stand Your Ground, but Stand Your Ground has been across this nation. So if you're mad at Stand Your Ground, why weren't you at the table when they were drafting the legislation to pass the law to get it signed by your governors for the bill? This comes from you voting, saying that you are a Republican, saying that you are a Democrat, voting Republican, voting Democrat, but not being a part of the procedural process. And if you're not a part of the procedural process and engaged in it, if you're not navigating who you want to be the next whatever, whether it be school board member, whether it be mayor, whether it be state rep, whether it be state senator, U.S. senator, congressman, president, unless you are participating in the political process and shaping it into the way that you want it to become, then you have people like me shaping it into my own ideals.
And don't complain. I got friends, you know, when I talk politics, they just kind of stop and they put their heads down, and I'm viewed as some sort of a whack job. And yet, who do they call when they got a complaint? They call me. You know what I tell them? Get involved, because I can't do anything myself. You want to go lobby for something? You get involved, because that's how you change things. That's how you get.
Priest, you're the meetings that you have at the Republican and Democrat headquarters locally, they are public and they are local and they are public.
And open up your wallet. I mean, at the end of the day, whether you like it or not, and you can and I went through this with some people I talked to, and you were at the meeting last week. Money talks. Show up. Contribute to the people that you want to win.
Absolutely. On every level.
You can complain about how it works, and I got news for you. It ain't ever going to change. This is how it works. So you better get used to it. Otherwise, you're going to be left in the dust. And pay attention to the news. You know, I love watching Waters World and jaywalking when they talk with people about how questions. You know what? It's funny, but it's not funny. That's sad. And there's a lot of people that fall into that category.
Yeah,
and their vote counts as much as mine, and I resent it because they don't know nothing. When you can't name the Vice President of the United States, there's a problem.
There's a problem.
Well, let me interject something. Like, I guess that's where I get lost sometimes because I'm a novice, like you say, Tracy. But anyway. I was messing with you. I don't feel I'm a novice.
You're not a novice. But what it is you haven't gotten engaged.
Well, the thing is, Tracy, when you say get engaged, right? I mean, that is a very, I guess, nebulous, broad way of saying it. Can you interject something further than just?
Yes.
You know,
when you right now, your wherever you move to, who's your congressman?
Mike Rogers.
Okay. Find out, do you like him?
No.
You got a race coming up next year. So, do you know who the guy who's thinking about running against him?
Well, the thing is, within that guy is picked, right? Like, my brother is running against a guy, a Democrat. He never has to run because nobody even challenges him as a Republican. It's a predominantly black area, so my brother's running as a Republican, which I told him not to do that, but he's going to do it. Right?
Okay.
So
your brother, your natural brother?
Yeah.
Okay, so now, you take your natural brother and you get behind him, and you begin to get involved in the process, and you get behind him, and you bring your resources and your friend's resources with you. And you go out and tell people that, you know, just because he's a Republican doesn't make him a bad guy. Because being a black person running in a Democrat heavily.
Look, everything
heavily
you're saying, I've done. That's what I'm trying to understand. Is there something where we start?
I'm going to tell you, you know, first of all, you're calling into this show. You listen to this show, which shows you have an interest. But there's you look locally what you can get done. Go talk to your party chairman. go talk to various community groups and find out what they're doing. Look online for special interest groups that are going to go lobby for things in your state. I'm sure there's lots of organizations that could use help circulating petitions. Here's what you're going to find.
I
consider myself to be a smart guy, and I've been active politically since I've been 14. I'm a political science major. My emphasis was in international relations. I'm about a quarter short of a master's degree in Russian history. I've been to Russia four times. I speak a little Russian. I get out and I see things. But you know what? It's only the last 3 or 4 years that I've become very, very ultra active in things. And just pushing my way in where, you know, you need to push to find out what's going on. What I found, I didn't like. And it's scary stuff. I mean, I'm looking national candidates, state candidates that came around. I thought, oh, my God, you know, no wonder we have the problems we have. Now, I've got two choices. I can go drop out and go and hide under my bed, or I can keep going forward and building friends, building consensus, trying to influence how people think. And when people look at me like I'm nuts, well, okay, they may think I'm nuts. But you know what? When I've got an issue, I know who to call. That's half the battle. And it's
okay, I understand that. I listen to you. I hear your point. I understand, right? Everything you're saying, okay, that makes sense. I'm not arguing with you. I'm not saying you're wrong. All I'm saying is it's almost like you have a house, right? You have and some ants are coming in the front door. So you're focusing on the ants at the front door. Meanwhile, in the back door, you got a bunch of vipers, snakes, poisonous snakes coming in, and they're coming in faster than the ants are coming in. We can do stuff on a state and local level. Hold on, Tracy. I listen. If you do things on a state and local level, like you're saying, could you affect some level of change? I believe so. I believe that you're right. I believe in getting involved, everything. Because actually I was talking to my brother the other day about something he's going to put on his platform when he runs. But the problem I have is that when you look at the national level and you look at this situation right now with the Republicans, I'm saying it. Look, is there something I can do? I don't really think there is, but because it's like the vipers have moved in so fast to where now we can't even. It's only a matter of time before we get bit and we die from a lethal bite. That's what I'm saying.
Alabama, you want to do something? I'm going to tell you what you could do if you really are looking for something very specific to do to take care of what you just talked about. Run for school board, and I mean that from the bottom of my heart. I am a firm believer that the issues that you're talking about on the national level, to a lesser degree the state level, are a direct result of what's coming, the product of our schools. And if you want to feel like you feel and start to make a difference, run for school board. And Tracy's heard me say this over and over again, over the next 20 years, to have the best long-term effect on the well-being of this nation, you got to get at two levels, school board level and boards of trustees levels at state universities, and monitor and try to direct what it is they're teaching these kids.
Not only that, let me say this to you, Alabama.
And that is a real concrete thing you can go do.
Alabama, let me say this to you. You told me that what's going on in the federal level is not based on the state level. And what I'm trying to tell you is, yes, it is.
And Tracy, I'm not saying that. I'm not saying that.
Let me finish at the comma.
Go ahead, man. Go ahead.
You're not listening.
I'm listening, but just because I disagree with you guys, you guys are saying do something locally, that's not going to stop them. They print it. Go ahead.
But Alabama, if you look at the state of, you live in the state of Georgia, how many congressmen do you have there?
I don't know altogether. I don't know.
Okay, you need to know that number. That number is very, very, very important to the process, because you have a statewide party that you need to be involved in.
Okay.
Because, see, remember, that statewide party actually filters into the RNC, which actually filters into the presidency and how money is spent and how things are shaped. You're saying, well, listen, I'm trying to tell you, and you're not listening. You want to change things on the national scale, but you got to know
state. And that's where the problem is. That's where the problem lies, Trace. I'm not saying that. I'm just really citing a problem that
and
I don't think what you're saying do
we,
is because guess what, Tracy? People have been thinking and doing what you're saying do for years. People, white and black, have done that.
But guess what? They're
and
doing
it's not,
it.
But But then what they're doing is they got you focused on this, right? Meanwhile, they're printing the money, sending the money to people overseas, doing what they want to do, causing wars, doing different things, and then buying the media off so that when you cut the news on, you don't even know about it.
And listen, and I keep on telling you, you're looking at the micro issues, and there's a macro one here. Your focus is off. It all works together. And until you get involved as Americans, people go into the polls and they vote and they think that's over with. It's only just begun. And unless you are engaged with your congressmen and with your state parties, then you're just actually just voting as a puppet. You got to go to the convention. You got to get involved. And you can be, people have tried it for years. And guess what? They've tried it for years, and they are actually working at it and making it work. And they're doing what they want to have done. You may not like what they're doing, but they're not doing it in the interest of America. They have their own agenda. You can call them lobbyists. You can call them whatever you want to call them. But they're actually manipulating the whole system and keeping America dumb. That's the whole goal.
What you guys are saying is absolutely right. I'm the precinct captain or president or whatever, whichever terminology you use, depending on what side of the state you're on. But I have a list of all registered Republicans, and I make sure I call them and let them know, hey, this is happening, that's happening, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I go to the county meeting, I go to the state meeting, and maybe next year I'll run for a delegate to be,
South Carolina, I'm about to go, y'all. I just wanted to get that in, and one of the things I was just trying to say was that you can get elected. They took the power from Congress to even print money. So we can do all this we want to. I disagree. But, hey, we're just going to agree to disagree. I'm going to just mute my mic. Y'all have I'm going to go back in here and get back to work. Because I don't see it. I mean, Congress has been stripped of all kinds of power. So, all right.
That's because you don't hear. All right. Go ahead, South Carolina. What were you saying?
I don't quite understand that. That to me is a little bit of a defeatist attitude, and I'm just going to stand on the corner and scream and holler, and nothing. It's not going to hurt. It's not going to affect anything. I'm not going to have any effect, but I'm going to stand here anyway. But in order to get in there, you got to get in there and get FaceTime with these folks. If people don't know who you are, they're not going to listen to what you think. That's why Al Sharpton gets so much playtime. It's like the squeaky wheel gets the grease. Well, that sucker's squeaking and has been squeaking for years. And they squeaked his way into a TV show on MSNBC. And you got other folks out there. Chris Matthews.
To control the masses.
Exactly.
To control the masses. And we don't understand.
White America thinks.
Black America is.
Black America is. And it's going to take folks like us to change that.
What comes to mind, and I know this is nuts, I'm listening to this conversation, all I can think of is Animal House. and that line where Dean Wormer told, I forget what the guy's name, fat, drunk, and stupid's no way to go through life. You know what? That pretty much describes a large part of America. I don't understand. You give them drugs, you give them electronics, anything to distract from what's going on.
Listen, the IRS has gone run amok.
Nobody cares. My God, nobody cares.
They do care. They shifted the focus to Zimmerman so they could take your mind off of it, and then they went to the next news story because they did not want you to dig deep. The same thing happens with Benghazi. The same thing happened with Snowden.
Everyone faces challenge.
We are not paying attention to what the I'm telling y'all, it's debate and switch. Three card Molly.
I'm stunned. I talk with people. You know what I get? I get this. They shrug their shoulders and look at me with a stupid look on their face. This is the Internal Revenue Service disseminating information to people because they don't like you politically, coming after you because they don't like you politically. And I'm going to talk about the NSA because the amount of information that they're gathering keeps getting worse by the day if you're listening to the news. If you don't think for 1 minute the government at some time and point will turn it and use it against you, you better read your history.
We are going to have to become more focused in and activists. I mean, if you look at what happened in the 60s, right, wrong, or indifferent, people were activists and things changed. Now we are complacent and things are very, very stale and going very, very wrong. And the people who are actually out there engaged doing anything, they are wackadoodles.
Yeah.
And those wackadoodles are wacky as wacky. Right now, I've got more information on they're trying to bring Monica Lewinsky back into the mainstream conversation. Anything to shift your focus. Anything. Don't look at what we're doing. President Obama's getting ready to go on another vacation.
Don't look over here. Look over there. Don't look over here. Look over there. Yeah.
We have problems in America that no one should be on vacation because none of us can go on vacation.
I can't.
So why are we why are we all going on vacation and kicking it and not dealing with the problems? And you have not heard him say anything about fixing them. We're talking about 2016. We haven't gotten to 2014 yet.
You know, part of the issue is, and I think this is, for a large part of America, Obama has done a good job. It hasn't been the part that you would think it is. It's the upper middle class to the very wealthy. Those folks have done very, very well. The stock market's at an all-time high. They're making more money than they ever made before. Why would they want to mess that up? So they look the other way. And the people who are the rest of us don't have the means by which to do things and are just very complacent. They just let it go. What are they going to do? It doesn't really affect their daily lives. Yet, it will. But what this guy's done is the wealthy have gotten wealthier, the poor have gotten poorer, the middle class is hurting bad, and, he's pushed people into poverty, or he's going to get their votes. The very wealthy, they're making a lot of money. They don't care. They'll get their votes. I'm just amazed at what I've seen. And it's all done in fiction. It's all a falsehood. It's all a big lie. And the press lets them get away with it. It's very frustrating times.
It is. The number is 347-945-5229. I want to hear from you today. Again, that number is 347-945-5229. And I'm sitting here with Mark Mangian. And as you know, Mark knows it all.
Of course I do. My mother told me that my whole life. She said, "You think you know it all?" Yeah, I do.
How did that work?
Italian word. She said, "You're a sabatute," which means you're a know-it-all.
So how did that work out?
Well, she died. I'm here.
She's old man. Listen, I'm going to take a break. I'll be right back. I do, again, want to hear from you today. The number is 347-945-5229. Want to pull up South Carolina. I think Not So Blind Mike is sitting out there in the wings. I got to hear from him today. I haven't heard too much out of him today. I need to offer him an apology. I thought about what happened the other day, and I should have cut that person off or cut him off at the knees. We'll be right back.
Let's talk for a moment about a great doctor. Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoning Valley. If you're looking for a doctor to help you with your prenatal needs or help with your decisions or questions about birth control, call 330-746-7007 and talk to Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoning Valley. And read the testimonials at aiwhealth.com.
I could not have had a better experience. Dr. Hill was always attentive to my needs and empathetic when the situation called for that type of sentiment. Dr. Hill's office environment and staff are pleasant and warm. Clearly, a good deal of care has gone into making the visiting experience a good one.
All patients receiving prenatal care get a free designer diaper bag. Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoning Valley only has one goal, ensuring your health so you could fully enjoy all of the times of your life. 1350 Fifth Avenue in Youngstown. Call 330-746-7007 and visit aiwhealth.com.
Your car will look brand new after a professional cleaning at Kingley Hand Wash and Wax. All work is done by hand, which protects the paint, leaves no water spots. You won't believe how good it looks. Walk-ins are always welcome, or book an appointment for a full detailing. Thursday is Ladies' Day. Get an additional service free with any regular wash. Kingley offers pickup and drop-off service. They'll take you to work, an appointment, and pick you up when your car is ready. If it's not Kingley, it's not clean. Kingley Hand Wash and Wax, 309 West Midlothian Boulevard.
Boardman Frame House Gallery, a professional frame shop and art gallery at the Mark Shopping Center in Poland at Routes 224 and 680. We specialize in original, limited, and antique lithographs of both renowned nationally published artists and local artists. We have over 30 years of award-winning custom design and archival framing. We give your artwork a unique presentation that enhances its value for life. Let your home or office express something individual and unique with a fine art limited edition print signed by the artist and numbered. You'll find many unique and affordable fine art editions. Visit us in the Mark Shopping Center. Find the Greenwich Workshop Catalog. And for any print or canvas you order, you get 50% off the frame for that fine art edition. Find us on Facebook or call us at 330-758-5795. That's 330-758-5795.
Well, hello there, good people. This is your happy polka pal, Larry Walk.
And your happy polka gal, Diana Walk.
Inviting you to tune in our Happy Polka Land show, now heard here at AM 600, WSOM, every Sunday afternoon, 1 to 4 p.m.
It's the musical antidepressant, featuring a custom blend of the latest in polka releases, as well as the polka picks from the past.
That's Larry Walk's Happy Polka Land, now heard here at AM 600, WSOM. Tune in for instant happiness.
With your headline news. A house explosion in Youngstown blew out neighbors' windows and shattered glass blocks away. It happened on Cohasset Drive yesterday. No one was inside of the house, and it's unclear what caused the explosion, but firefighters say the gas was on. Youngstown will soon have a high school for artistic students. Construction crews are hard at work transferring an old insurance building on Market Street into the potential development high school for autism. The three-story building with 8 classrooms is set to open this fall and is still accepting students. It'll be the third school of its kind in Ohio. The school will offer speech therapy classes, life skills, and it'll have a fine arts learning center. The school is still looking to raise more than $500,000. And Warren City Council members are looking at legislation that might cut down on copper theft. A councilman is proposing that scrap yards be required to wait 24 to 48 hours before paying for metals. The councilman says that way workers can determine if the metal was obtained legally. For WSOM News, I'm Harper Keegan.
Are you looking to save money on your heating and cooling bills this year? Quality Windows can meet all your window needs while improving your curb appeal and increasing your home's value. Family owned and operated since 1998, Quality Windows lifetime warranted easy maintenance windows can save you up to 35% on your energy bills. They'll bring the showroom to you.
Hi, this is Kevin Goldberg, owner of Quality Windows. Call us today for your free in-home estimate at 1-800-863-9344. And you won't have to worry. There's no high-pressure, 3-hour sales pitch with us. We don't require down payments, and we also have many different financing options available. And our prices start at just $179. And if you call in and mention this ad, receive an additional 20% off our Timeless series. And all the Quality Windows come with a true lifetime warranty.
Get your free estimate and more info at QualityWindowsLLC.com. 800-863-9344. Quality Windows. You've seen the rest. Now come see the best.
Do you depend on your computer? Then you know that a virus on your computer is bad news. But there is something you can do. Just call this number, 330-759-9700. That's 330-759-9700. That's the number for Ambassador Technologies in Liberty Township. Ambassador Technologies specializes in virus removal and restores your computer to full performance. We also specialize in computer repair, from desktops, laptops, laptop screens, laptop power supplies, laptop batteries, and hardware updates. And when your business needs networking, Ambassador Technologies is the place to go. Ambassador Technologies, Youngstown's best for computer repair, networking, website development, and even low-cost business cards and publishing. Call Ambassador Technologies at 330-759-9700. Online at ambastech.com. That's ambastech.com.
1-800-530-WSOM or 347-945-5229. Call in now to talk to Tracy and friends on Newstalk 600 WSOM.
Hey.
Hey, we're back, and you're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600 in studio with Mark Mangi, and I believe South Carolina and Alabama's on the phone. Is this South Carolina or is this Not So Blind Mike? All right, now we're on. I'm about to start putting your names in when you call in, because, you know, I used to be able to just go by the first three numbers of, you know, I only go by the first three, the area code. I don't necessarily go by the whole phone number. Can't remember all that. That's just too much work. It's open. It's Know It All Thursday. And between Mark and I, we know it absolutely all. And without Jeff.
All they have to do is call us and let us know, and you know, we'll tell them what to do.
That's it. That's all.
We know what to do.
I've got major issues with the American people and the education system and the process of it. We are, I think, Mark, you hit it on the head when you talked about school board.
Yes, ma'am.
I don't even know if the school board even understands what the school board does.
I don't think they do. They I don't understand, you know, the motivation of folks that run for school board.
Springboard.
I don't know, but we got to get some people in there who understand what the issues are facing our country and be willing to stand up for making sure that we don't get this wackadoodle left-wing garbage being foisted on our kids every step of the way. When my son was in high school, he brought his math book home. That was filled with Brazilian rainforest stuff. What's that have to do with 2 and 2? And it's everywhere. It's environmentally correct. It's, you know, Native Americanly correct. It's this correct,
but
that correct.
But it's not correct because they don't tell you anything. Again, it goes back to not being able to think. And as long as, I mean, anytime that you, and this is what bothers me. As long as you have a teacher who is knowledgeable about the manipulation of her textbook.
Yeah.
I mean, really?
But they're not. These folks are coming out now. What's happened is a spit of the textbooks. These folks graduating from the education schools right now actually believe it.
But they believe a lie.
Who's going to tell them?
They don't. But how can you teach American government if you don't understand the government process?
I agree.
How can you teach economics if you don't understand commerce?
I agree.
How can you teach home ec if you don't understand family?
I agree.
So explain that to me.
These, again, they've come out of university programs that offer a point of view that you can't even begin to crack, as to what's being taught in the universities. And these folks come out and they teach it in the elementary schools. They teach it in the secondary schools. They take this politically correct point of life that has no basis in fact. You know, one of the big drivers of this country is guilt. You got to get rid of the guilt. You know, you're guilty because America did this. You're guilty because America did that. You're guilty because America did the other thing. Well, okay, maybe America did those things, but you know what? Push the good against the bad. We've done a whole lot more good than we've done bad. I mean, people are people, and America's run by people. There's good and bad people.
Mark,
you know.
Mark,
yeah.
I understand about guilt, but what about personal responsibility? You're going to teach about America being guilty, but they don't teach you anything about personal responsibility?
Responsibility. I got a pack. I got a an organization that believes that one of the things we harangue about is personal responsibility.
I want one.
What are you looking at?
What are you talking about, Tracy?
She's looking at my wife's handiwork on my iPad right now, or my tablet right now.
Oh man.
Oh, okay. You don't have one, Tracy?
What?
An iPad.
A tablet?
Yeah.
I don't do iPad. I do droids. I have tablets, but I want what's on here. I got to go talk to the wife.
Let me go see. What are you looking at? Ah.
I want one.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes you marry people who are just that creative that they're just off. They're just unbelievably bright. they could just have talent.
Yeah, my wife's a talented person. She makes all this stuff.
And I'm coming to the house. I'm trying to figure out how to get an elephant.
I got lots of elephants.
I know, but you collect them and I can't steal them because I could go to jail. That's not nice.
Here we are at the chamber with my union brothers.
Oh, my. In the cabin.
In the cabin.
You guys have to excuse us. We're taking a personal moment. She's in the butterflies now.
That's right. Well, she's into birdies, too. But she teaches lectures and does workshops on stitching and that sort of thing. And she's doing the butterfly. She was with owls for a while, and now it's butterflies and birdies and leaves. She has fall leaves.
Yeah, I don't want a fall leaf. I want the butterfly.
I'll get you a butterfly.
I want a butterfly and a listen. South Carolina, listen to this. Let me tell you what Mark did. Mark comes in and tells me, I haven't slept in a couple days. My wife made this chocolate cake, and it's as heavy as all get out. And every night before I go to bed, I eat a chunk of cake. Ask me what Mark did not bring in today.
Cake. That's cold, Mark. And it's
that's
not,
wrong.
You know, I know.
Dude,
I know.
Just
that's
wrong.
One of those
that's
slap
wrong.
You in the back of the head moments right there.
You know?
She'll never let me live it down.
And comes in and describes this cake. What's in the cake?
I'll tell you what's in the cake. It's chocolate cake, and then it is marshmallows. Then it's some more chocolate syrup, and then it's coconut. Then it's some more chocolate, and then there's nuts. And then there's some more chocolate. Now, this thing's in a pretty big sheet pan. My wife says it could serve 35. She's absolutely right. I went to pick it up. You needed a crane. This thing was so heavy.
That has nothing to do with you not bringing a slice.
I know. I'm bad.
Tracy, you're telling me. Hey, Tracy, I love you, but I don't love you that much.
That's just what's going on here. South Carolina, you're down there. Is it getting any better down there where you are? Because right up here, this is school board year. School board races are this year, this election cycle, and it looks as though that we don't have a lot of people interested in running for school board anymore.
Yeah, it's about like that. Matter of fact, there's 7 days until the – no, I'm sorry – 7 days until the registration, and then you've got until the 16th when the registration closes to run or to file. But we've had the same people on the school board. We only had two changes in 18 years.
Huh?
Yeah.
So how's the education process?
It sucks.
Okay.
You've got some highlights, you know, like there's a magnet school in the district that's number two in the state. I'm not sure if the governor's school classifies as our district, but it's in our county. It's number one in the state, and that's pretty much it. The rest of the schools, they perform well, but not as well as they could, and they seem to be happy doing what they're doing. I know they like to raise the mills on us, increase the taxes.
So if Mark says it comes out of the education system, how do we change the system? Because right now, young people are really being indoctrinated with a whole lot of stuff that I never thought. Even when I listen to their music, I'm always trying to find bumper music. I can't understand how we have made bad language popular in modern culture.
I don't get it. Some of the music's not bad. I downloaded. I was woke up yesterday morning. I told you I'm not sleeping well, and I was flipping around the station. I came across some Palladia, which does a lot of music video type stuff, and I really. Little combination rap ditty that it was really, really good. And I thought, this is a cute little tune because my toe's tapping with it. And I downloaded it. Then I listened to the language. Oh, my God. I was floored. I couldn't hear it on television. I heard it when I was playing it through my speakers in my car. Well, it's bad. It's bad.
I don't know how to. I'm really concerned. I'm concerned about, you know, people want to get involved and think they're a part of the process, and they show up and not realize they're being manipulated. I'm concerned. I'm concerned that, you know, we talk about Congress and we say that we're mad at them, they're not doing a good job, but we won't do anything to make it change.
You got to get into the schools. I mean this, and from the bottom of my heart, we've had this conversation a lot privately. Until you get the schools in line to at least present a balanced view of political life in the United States, nothing's going to happen. It's going to get worse instead of better. These kids come out, they think we're doing this, they think we're doing that. They believe, now, for the most part, a lot of kids believe their teachers, and the teachers are teaching what they've been taught. You go out to the university, look at the number of Republicans and conservatives that are on university that are on the university payroll. You're not going to find any.
No.
You know, I think the business school up here in Youngstown has one or two registered Republicans, and that's it. Lord knows that you'd find some of the liberal arts stuff.
Well, no. The university, as far as what in teaching,
or the school.
Mm.
Now, we're lucky up at Youngstown that we have a relatively balanced political science department up there. But we've got a pretty balanced.
Well, let me say this: we may not have it because you have to realize people who stay in academia and continue to work for a public system, they have no reason to change their ideology.
They've got reason to reinforce it because that's what keeps the money coming.
No. Well, you have to understand, until you actually get out on your own and you become in the business world and you begin to see how the real world operates, you're more likely to stay a liberal thinker.
And it would be supported by the local media. Now, if I were to be appointed through some stroke of God's intervention to Youngstown State University Board of Trustees, let's say, and I went in there and said, I want to look at what they're teaching. I want to look at the books. I want to look at the makeup of the professors. I'll tell you what, headline the Vindicator. They'd be screaming and yelling. What's he doing that for? He's a troublemaker. No business being up there. Because you've got a really, a small group of folks who are entrenched. Youngstown's better than most. One of the reasons Youngstown does well is they have a large limited service faculty up there. These are folks who are out in the real world teaching classes. And I taught up there limited service for 15 years. And, I brought my point of view with me into the classroom. And folks ought to have access to that point of view. But they don't.
A lot of times they don't. But again, if you are a public service employee, it's hard for you to see how to make money.
I don't get it.
Well, you got to check.
Oh, I understand what you're saying, Tracy. Sure. I understand what you're saying.
I mean, you don't see the regulations. You don't see the union weight. You don't see the overreach. You don't see – but then if you have people who are in business who have inherited business and or are in the management of business and don't understand employee relations, then you have employees that you don't treat right also. I mean, and that makes a difference because people who are not treated right tend to become more liberal because they feel as though somebody owes me something.
I have been told, and I've experienced in my practice firsthand, the best Republicans are retired teachers who open up businesses for themselves.
Then they find out what happened.
Then they come in and they sit in my office and they say, well, nobody told me that. Why do I have to do that? What's this fee? What's that tax?
Correct. I said this the other day, and I'll continue to say it. You don't understand tax cuts until you have to write a check for the tax.
Sure.
Then when you start writing a check for the taxes, then you begin, and it's not your savings plan, it's not automatically deducted, and you figure out FICA is not, you know, the home savings and loan plan.
Yeah.
And you don't get a refund anymore, but you got to pay additional. That's when you understand tax cuts. You don't understand it because people don't realize that they work 200 and some odd days to make a profit.
Now, I have some rental property here in Mahoning County, and I can tell you
that property tax alone, property tax, 2 months' rental income goes to property tax.
They don't understand that.
That's a lot of money.
They don't understand that.
No.
I mean, and so unless you're right, we don't educate people on the economics of things.
And on top of it, now I'm a small guy, okay? I've got, you know, a number of units, but I'm not ready to, you know, retire or anything like that. I still do a lot of work in them myself, and my son does. But if you look at what Obama has done with Obamacare coming out, there's a 3.5% tax on gross rental income.
But people
for
don't.
People, for,
but Mark,
that's
why,
3.5%
why do I
been passed on to the tenants?
Okay, so let's go back to the strike. The number is 347-945-5229. Let's go back to the strike. I'm striking at McDonald's because I want to get paid more money because I can't make a living at McDonald's, but I don't want to get an education to get a better job.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I am paying you rent.
Yes.
You are rich.
Yes.
Because I pay you rent.
Yes.
So no,
well,
I,
they think.
Doesn't
that's
matter.
Not the case.
It's like the employer. People work inside of companies, and they collect cash. And they think that the business that they're working for, because they collect the cash, that they are wealthy. They don't see the taxes, the regulations, and all the things you have to pay for to keep them employed. So they think the employer is rich. It's because we have indoctrinated our society to believe cash is king, and they don't look at the bills that come in behind the cash. When you open up a store, people do not understand your gas bill at home and your gas bill in a commercial property is not the same gas bill. There's no heap for businesses.
So I was working out my budget for my business this morning, and I can tell you that the return on investment, you know, you take the amount of money that's invested in the real estate that we own, is 4%. And that's not a whole lot. I can get 4% by buying GE stock.
We don't understand that. We're not taught that. The teacher does not understand that. The teacher who teaches the classroom about the economics, who stands on the picket line for something that the school cannot produce because the school does not produce any cash, does not understand that.
Now, my gross return is 10%. My net return is 4%. That means 6% of the rentals
is going somewhere else.
Is going someplace else.
Usually the taxes.
Yeah, taxes. Taxes is the biggest chunk.
Tracy.
Yeah.
I looked at a business here last weekend that I saw advertised, and the business is being sold with the property and everything that goes along with it. So I go in there with a realtor, and I'm looking at this place, and I'm like, oh, boy. The front of the house looks immaculate. You go to the back side of it, it's going to take. Now they wanted $100,000 for the business and everything that went along with it. They reduced the price to $79,000. Okay, you go in the back side of the house. The first thing you're going to run into is 2 weeks after you're in business, the regulatory agency for food, they're going to shut you down immediately. Because there are so many violations back there that is absolutely ridiculous. The place has been in business since 46. I don't know what kind of relationship they've got with the other you know regulatory agencies, but it doesn't seem like you know nobody's inspected them in a while. It's got another building attached to it, and so the realtor looks at me and says, "You'll get it for $79, but you'll pay another $200,000 to get the thing up and running before you make a dime." And that's
wow.
How it works. That's how business works. Now, if you want to make that type of investment, you can. You might turn a profit in 4 or 5 years, but you cannot just go out, set up a business, and start making money because you got to pay for that stuff. You got to pay for stock. You got to pay for insurance. Just insurance, just to open up. Not to mention the interest you're going to pay on the note that you got to send to the bank every month, and your sales tax. No, it's not as easy as people think it is.
We haven't been taught that. And the majority of young people who are in school, no one's teaching any of this. This is just pure basic economics. That's why you have people who are in Congress who are run amok. And they keep on printing money. We don't understand that. And we're not taught it.
One of the hardest courses that I've taken in my undergrad and now in, you know, when I'm doing my graduate work is the class on entrepreneurship. That has been the hardest class out of all of them that I've taken. Why? Because I got the same professor for both of them. He says, I want you to understand and understand it well what it takes to be an entrepreneur.
But these folks have been demonized right now. I've never seen anything like it. I look at the people that get work from what I do. There's a lot. Listen, it's nothing that's spectacular, but there's lawn that needs to be cut. We had to have one of our units renovated top to bottom last week. There's three or four people involved with that. The lady who helps taking care of the common areas for us, right on down the line. And people don't understand this is how jobs are created. But, you know, they keep, well, you're not doing your fair share. Let me tell you about my fair share.
I've been talking to people in the last couple of days, and we've been talking about job creation. The problem with America is we haven't learned how to become entrepreneurs, and nor are we taught to become them. We are not, and because we are not entrepreneurial, we are not actually hiring, and we are not growing, and we are not innovative, which means people are not working.
Yeah.
And they have stifled the small business to where starting a business and being in small business is almost a daunting uphill battle, including the lemonade stand.
Yeah, yeah. And you look at the popular culture. You look at what's on television. You look what's on the movies. Do you ever see people who are running a business portrayed in a good way? For the most part, they're portrayed as evil, greedy capitalists.
For the most part.
Yeah, and you know, we got to go get them. And, you know, Christmas will be here in two or three. They did Christmas in July on TV. We're going to save the town from the mall developer. We got to save the town from the oil driller. We got to save the towns from the logger. We got to save this from that. Dear God in heaven. What do you want us to do? Live in tents and poop in the woods. And that's what these people are, at the end of the day,
so,
that's what they want.
So I'm going to take a break in a few minutes. But now, since you mentioned that, let's really go to the real problem. We talk about fracking.
Yeah.
Locally, you have people who are being bussed in to tell people to don't work.
Yeah.
Live off the grid. And don't make money. You've got a president who says he's going to put the coal industry out of business, and he's doing a very, very good job of it. You got people in Detroit who are still in love with the president, and he says that Mitt Romney is going to make Detroit go bankrupt, and Detroit decides that they're going to save money through Obamacare. Who is going to pay for all this?
They don't know. They don't figure it out. They don't want to know. People just think money grows on trees. And I think, and if you look at the history of America since the end of World War II, you know, maybe there's reason to think that people think that money grows on trees, because after World War II, it practically did. We were the only game in town. There was money everywhere. We were all raised in a different kind of environment. And you know, mom and dad gave to us, blah, blah, blah. You know, it just...
Money does grow on trees, doesn't it?
I wish I could pay my taxes. My taxes are due next week.
Hey, Nuts on Blind Mike. How you doing, honey?
Fine, thank you, Tracy. I was just listening.
I owe you an apology. And so I'm going to do this. Because that person called in and was very rude to people who do not have sight.
I didn't even know if that was real, or I thought that was just one of your regular callers having some fun.
I don't even know who that is.
Oh,
but
I'm
I just
sorry.
Want you to know, I don't know who that is, but that was not nice.
Okay. Well, you know,
somebody called in was just rude about people being blind.
Oh.
And I thought about it a couple of days later, and as I walked through this and mushed this around in my brain, I do things publicly and openly, and want to say I'll apologize for the person who said it, because it was not nice.
Well, Tracy, thank you. It's not your job to apologize for the ignorance of somebody else. Okay. It's not
I understand
job.
That, but it's my
but
show,
but
and I take ownership of it.
But I understand. And, you know, that's a really good point, though, that you make. And Mark and I can then speak to the next point. When we see a white person treat a black person rudely or badly, we want to apologize, too. You know, there's just, when you see stuff like that, you're embarrassed, you know, for whatever reason, that you're part of that group or whatever.
I just want to say, I want to do that before, I'm glad you called back in. Listen, I'm going to take a break in a few minutes, and it's an open mic, and want you guys to join in. I see Alex and
sure.
Not So Blind Mike there. Alabama's on mute. We are in a time that if we don't change the our now, we're going to destroy our future. And I hate that Trayvon Martin lost his life, but if you want to march, you need to march for education. Educated people, as I said, and I will continue my speech, educated people don't end on the opposite side of a bullet, very rarely. Not to the degree of what we have in our streets. But until we start taking ownership and taking responsibility for our own young people and our own education and our own futures, we are going to be having conversations about ignorant politicians that manipulate the system being bad and our kids running amok and another kid dying. So listen, I'm going to take a break. I'll be right back. We'll see you on the other side of my break.
WSOM, Salem, Youngstown, Warren, the home for afternoons with Tracy and friends. News Talk 600 WSOM.
If you're ready to take control of your own destiny in a new career, consider a career in radio.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Joan Bennett. Facing her tormentor, Michelle Knight, one of three Cleveland women held for a decade by Ariel Castro, told Castro at his sentencing hearing today, "Your hell is just beginning."
I will live on. You will die a little every day.
Castro was sentenced to life in prison without chance of parole. Judge Michael Russo.
Those counts that I just mentioned will all be served consecutively to count one and to each other.
Castro faced more than 900 counts of kidnapping, rape, and murder. NSA leaker Edward Snowden has finally left the transit zone of the Moscow airport, where he'd been holed up for 5 weeks, after Russia granted him asylum for a year. The White House says it's extremely disappointed by the decision. Spokesman Jay Carney.
This move by the Russian government undermines a longstanding record of law enforcement cooperation, cooperation that has recently been on the upswing since the Boston Marathon bombings.
City Council in San Diego has told its embattled mayor it won't pay its legal fees as he fights sexual harassment claims. But, says ABC's Alex Stone, the mayor has a novel response.
Mayor Bob Filner is now arguing San Diego must pay his legal expenses because it failed to provide him with sexual harassment training. So he didn't know what he was doing was sexual harassment. But San Diego's former chief operating officer is telling an investigative website the mayor's office ordered the sexual harassment classes to be canceled because the mayor didn't have time for them. Alex Stone, ABC News.
National Park Service officials say three areas of the Lincoln Memorial statue still show a trace of green staining after a vandal splattered green paint at the site last week. They're hoping a fourth round of cleaning will remove the last signs of vandalism. This is ABC News.
Hi, I'm Diane Caridou. I'm a senior Medicare Patrol volunteer. Our program, sponsored by Medicare and the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, helps seniors learn to protect themselves from Medicare frauds and scams. For instance, if you're a Medicare beneficiary and you're approached with an offer of free medical equipment or services, watch out. If it sounds too good to be true, it probably is. Call 1-800-MEDICARE to report it. And go to stopmedicarefraud.gov to find lots of useful tips and important information about new fraud-fighting tools that Medicare now has thanks to the health care law. New resources to help law enforcement crack down on criminals and return taxpayer dollars to the Medicare trust funds. And how you can get involved in the fight against fraud. Go to stopmedicarefraud.gov and help make Medicare stronger for all of us. A message from Medicare and the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
Two arrests in a New York-based Ponzi scheme that allegedly netted more than $100 million. ABC's Aaron Katursky with more.
Brian Callahan handled the money. His brother-in-law, Adam Manson, handled the real estate. And together, federal prosecutors said the two Long Island men conspired to commit fraud. Court records say they raised tens of millions of dollars from investors by promising it would be invested in mutual funds, hedge funds, and other legitimate securities. Instead, prosecutors said the men employed all the tricks in a typical con man's bag. The money propped up an unprofitable beachfront property and funded expensive cars and homes. The men now face decades in prison if convicted. Aaron Katursky, ABC News, New York.
A family returned from vacation to their home in Barrington, Rhode Island, and found wet towels and blankets strewn about the house, someone's underwear on the couch, condom wrappers, and marijuana left behind. Whoever broke in also made some cookies. The family says the intruders took alcohol, cash, and other valuables and broke some doors. No arrests made. Joan Bennett, ABC News.
Fit family. Unique, individualized, and promoting a healthy, active lifestyle. Fit Family on Route 46 in Austintown designs a personal exercise program just for you with your own personal trainer. Each client at Fit Family in Austintown receives their own certified personal trainer with their membership. And at Fit Family, we listen to you and design a fitness program to the type of fitness you're looking for, with all the equipment you need for strength training, cardio, Pilates, and more. We also offer classes in Zumba, yoga, kickboxing, step, 5K training, line dancing, silver sneaker, and real rider cycling. Fit Family is open Monday through Saturday with hours that fit your schedule. Find out more about Fit Family in Austintown. Call 330-793-4466. That's 330-793-4466. Visit us on the web at fitfamily1.com. That's fitfamily1.com.
Let's talk for a moment about a great doctor. Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoning Valley. If you're looking for a doctor to help you with your prenatal needs or help with your decisions or questions about birth control, call 330-746-7007 and talk to Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoning Valley. And read the testimonials at aiwhealth.com.
I could not have had a better experience. Dr. Hill was always attentive to my needs and empathetic when the situation called for that type of sentiment. Dr. Hill's office environment and staff are pleasant and warm. Clearly, a good deal of care has gone into making the visiting experience a good one.
All patients receiving prenatal care get a free designer diaper bag. Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoning Valley only has one goal, ensuring your health so you could fully enjoy all of the times of your life. 1350 Fifth Avenue in Youngstown. Call 330-746-7007 and visit aiwhealth.com.
Howdy, howdy. I'm so excited. Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce is at the grocery store. That's right. You can get Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce right at the store. That means you can put back the thick and muddy. If you can't taste the meat, what's the point? Pick up the smooth and delicate Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce. Next time you find yourself down at the market, remember, Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce. The full cup of love.
Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce is now available at the grocery stores. Ask your grocer for a cup of love.
If you can't taste the meat, then what's the point?
The Chevy Model Year-End Event is going on now at your local Chevrolet dealer. Test drive any of their 12 vehicles, like the EPA-estimated 34-mile-per-gallon Chevy Malibu. Visit your local Chevy dealer today. Visit fueleconomy.gov for details.
Broadcasting from the Ford Studios. Things are heating up this summer at your Northeast Ohio Ford dealer. Take advantage of the spectacular summer deals, including the Ford F-150. For more details, visit driveoneohio.com.
Putting America and our valley back to work. Recognizing local companies and business owners that are generating new ideas and innovative concepts that are helping to lead our valley's workforce in the new economy.
Like ETI Technical College, creating quality programs in demand fields with options that save you time and money.
We offer several different programs, law, business, medicine, web design, accounting, some skilled trades. We give the students an opportunity to focus the curriculum solely around their area of interest, trimming away a lot of the fat, you know, saving them time, saving them money. Two things as you get older, you're going to wish you had more of, it's time and money. And a college like ETI is able to save you both.
Putting America and our valley back to work. To find out how your business can be a part of our program, call 330-783-1000. That's 330-783-1000.
Deering Compressor, proud sponsor of Putting America and Our Valley Back to Work.
Check it out, it's the Terminator. Hey, when'd you get back, huh?
Did you have to shoot anyone?
Why are you so distant? Are you not happy to see me?
So what's the deal? You gonna get a job now or what?
Why are you being so jumpy? Put all that stuff behind you, okay?
No one knows what it's like to come back from Iraq or Afghanistan unless they were there. Join other veterans at communityofveterans.org because we know where you're coming from. Brought to you by Iraq and Afghanistan Veterans of America and the Ad Council.
Welcome to Afternoons with Tracy and Friends, the local talk show that stimulates your mind and keeps you thinking about things going on in your world. From local issues to topics of global importance, Tracy and Friends keeps you informed and keeps the conversation going. Call to talk to Tracy and Friends at 347-945-5229, 330-781-9600, or toll free at 1-866-530-WSOM. Listen online at tracyandfriends.com or at 600WSOM.com. And now, here's Tracy Winbush.
Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. The number is 347-945-5229. I hope you're having a good day today, hanging out with us. It is a crazy, dreary, sunny, weird kind of day here weather-wise.
Tracy, you got to send me your playlist.
It's in my brain, Mark. I can't send you that. I found this place called, it's radio, but it's RDIO, I think it is, and RDIO.com, and they give you X amount of free music, and I'm almost getting ready to run out of free music, and then they're going to make me have a subscription. But it does wonderful because it has new releases, it has old stuff, new stuff, and so anything that I come up with, or if I come up with a name, it'll list all the names that have titles of what I'm looking for, because I'm not as proficient in music as Jeff.
Okay, well, Jeff knows this stuff.
Jeff knows.
Yeah.
See, I'm just not that good. And so I try to find something that comes up in my head. I was just thinking about R. Kelly today. That'd be a good song. I was talking to a friend of mine, and they were telling me about Burn Down Walmart. Had to play it. Because, you know, I'm not an old Walmart fan. I'm going to, you know, I got a feeling one of these days this code is going to kick me in the butt. But
yeah.
I'm not a Walmart fan. And not because of the commerce. I just don't like their business practices. It really, really bothers me when companies come in and they diversify so greatly that it steps on all small businesses in an area, and they have the ability to crush them.
Yeah. Well, there's countervailing stuff with Walmart. I don't shop there. My wife will go in there from Ginger will go in there from time to time. Looking for some specific things, but I'm not a big box store fan. I try to avoid the box stores. The saddest day I've had in the last couple of years is when the hardware store up at raccoon in 224.
It closed. Burned.
Oh,
yeah.
Caught fire.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
Everybody went there, and I saw more people than I have. It was like an old-time hardware store going there.
Ace is
yeah.
the place.
Yeah.
And I thought they were going to rebuild, but they found out that's just not a good idea.
Well, you got to figure that intersection is going to be redone, and it would be right going where their building is. So what, you know.
I mean, they made a hard choice, but I have to say, and it's not because I am against big box commerce, but, you know, when I've watched companies come in and be a conglomerate and take out all their competition.
Yeah.
And then you thought that you had a good deal until there's no competitor. And when the competition is gone, I have a monopoly. And that monopoly causes me to – I can do what I choose.
Yeah.
And a lot of times the consumer loses.
Well,
I don't – I like the spirit of competition. I like that. That's good.
I don't know. I buy a lot of stuff online. I buy a lot of stuff on Amazon, and I buy everything. I mean, if you're talking shampoo, deodorant, toothpaste. You know, I get cartons of stuff delivered to my wife said, "What are you doing that for?" I said, "Well, because I don't want to go to the, you know, go look for the stuff." But I just Walmart and me just have never gotten along. Although my wife will, when she was teaching, you know, she'd go there to that's where the school told her to go buy groceries because the prices were so good, but. Yeah, at the end of the day, people shop price, and you know, that's a double-edged sword when you're talking
about
price,
places. But
like
when
Walmart.
I look, at they do optical, they do hearing aids, they do telephones now, they do tires, they do you know, hardware, they do software, they do clothes, they do food. They compete against everything that you possibly could want.
And they're going to be getting into health care. They're already into health care some of these walk-in clinics, which I think is a big solution to some of the problems that our healthcare system has.
But this walk-in clinic, I don't want a big-box walk-in clinic. I'd like to see us have community hospitals and community clinics.
Yeah.
We have a couple good ones here, Youngstown Community Health, One Health Ohio.
Yeah.
They have about 7 locations now. I appreciate them, and hopefully they're going to be partnering with us soon as one of our clients.
And those are just, you know, this is wonderful, wonderful stuff that's happening in healthcare right now, none of which has been planned with Obamacare. This is entrepreneurs.
Yeah.
Seeing a need, and they're going to go provide what's needed. I think it's wonderful. I go to Walgreens to get my shots and whatnot, and you know, I never used to do that. You go in there, and you know,
go to Walgreens and get your shots.
Yeah, I walk in there, and they give me a shot. I have to be good. There's two kinds of shots. There's the flu shot, then there's, you know, what I had last night.
And maybe because I come from a small town,
yeah.
I miss the small town pharmacy.
Yeah. We still go to one locally. So
yeah, I miss when you walk in, they know your name. If you're sick, you call them at home, and they come in and open up the pharmacy so you can get your pills so you don't die. I miss those. I miss that.
But he doesn't do the shots. But our prescriptions, we go to a small town pharmacy here in town. We've been going to them for years and years, except when my wife's union said, or healthcare plan said, we had to go to Medco for a couple of years. But she's now back on state teachers, so we can go back to the local guy.
Okay.
Yeah.
Hey, Alex, how you doing, honey? He was there. I'm not crazy.
Maybe we scared him away.
Hey, the number 347. Yes. Hey,
go ahead. Go give your number. Huh?
Go ahead.
Give your number. Oh, the
number 347-945-5. Go ahead.
Okay, 347-945-5229, and you get to talk to the incredible Tracy.
Oh, I love you too, Mike.
I love you too.
Something. What do you want?
You know, because of our little break there, I had a little bit of time to think about you apologizing to me. And I do appreciate that very much because I wasn't sure how to take that guy the other day. But if he was serious, he's got bigger problems than just being an uninformed person. He wasn't paying attention to the conversation. I was talking about free enterprise, and I was talking about the government getting out of things for the same reason, you know, that when you kill competition, like what you were saying about Walmart, you know, then they're in control. I was complaining about how much stuff the disabled technology costs because it's administrated in this country and passed out by federally subsidized state agencies who have no reason to do competitive shopping, and it keeps the prices of all that stuff artificially high. And I wasn't asking for anything free. I was just saying just let the market control the price so I don't have to pay so much. And I think he missed that point. We lost that on him.
You know, ignorance is just, you know, people hear what they want to hear when they want to hear it.
Yeah.
And ignorance is just ignorance. And but it's a learning. And I want to thank him for calling in and being ignorant because it's a teachable moment.
Do you remember what day it was? Was it this week or last week?
Tuesday. I think it was
Tuesday.
Tuesday.
Good. I'm going to go online because now over the break I've been thinking about it. I recognize his voice. I think he was a heckler that I ran into publicly maybe a year ago. So we'll see. I could have a secret admirer stalker. Who'd I know?
That'd be bad.
Yeah, it would be. It would
That'd be bad.
Yeah. But I was just listening earlier in the show, and I found it very interesting because Alabama was asking for the checklist, the action list of what to do, and I was taking some notes. It never dawned on me to get involved at the precinct level and become a precinct captain or whatever you call that.
Committee person.
Committee person, thank you. And I'm saying, geez, that could work, you know. And because all politics is local.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's a beginning of a great change. And once you get involved, if you work the system, it will work. The problem is we jump in, don't work it, and then somebody works it for us, and you wonder why it doesn't work.
Yeah. Right.
And don't get discouraged.
Yeah.
No.
You can't get discouraged.
No. You've got to go in knowing it's an uphill battle.
Yeah.
Because even what you said to him, you know, and again, I have a lot of respect for Alabama. He's accomplished a lot in his life. But, you know, even though he's in Georgia, that simple remedy, if he picked up the banner in Georgia and I picked up the banner here in South Carolina and we did across the country, that issue that he was talking about in Maine that he alleged happened wouldn't have happened because people in Maine would have picked up the ball and they would have been watching out for their candidate. So it could be a grassroots movement to clean up the system.
And the other interesting thing about politics, just generally speaking, is that the sands are always shifting. You never know what's going to happen. And, you know, especially where Tracy and I live, you know, locally, there's all sorts of stuff happening all the time. You'd never think in a million years would happen, and yet it does. So it's as much as trying to influence things and position yourself that when something happens, to move in to do what needs to be done to fix what needs to be fixed.
You'll be surprised by the learning process of getting involved. I've learned this the easy way because I was blessed enough to learn from other people.
Mm-hmm.
You can only fix the system from the inside out. And that's something that libertarians and Green Party, that's where they miss the boat. There are some major problems within both parties and within the complete government system of America. But the only way that we're going to fix this problem is if we get inside of the system and begin to learn it and change it.
Yeah.
And that only comes from great people. And so great people need to get involved inside of the political system and be patient enough to deal with the minutia until they're able to find a way to impact change.
Mm-hmm.
And also, sometimes it takes longer than you think.
Also, to add to that conversation about impacting change, I agree that I would like you add Martin Luther King to the list of people who had a bullet changed history in this country, and I would also add President McKinley to that because this is terrible to say, but in a good way, I believe it affected change because then Teddy Roosevelt came to power as vice president. And he was the one who went after Carnegie and Rockefeller and all that and broke up those big trusts that, I mean, at that point were controlling federal elections. Tom McKinley got in, you know.
That's
and
true.
They had to get Roosevelt out of the way, so they made him the useless vice president because if he stayed where he was in New York State, he was causing too much trouble. And so there's where a case where a bullet changed our history. But I think in a way, you know, people complain about the power of corporations today. You should have seen what it was like 100 years ago.
And let me I got to throw this in since you mentioned you came back around to that. I just got a note from someone on Facebook, and I want to speak to this out loud. The reason why it came back to race is because discrimination and ignorance amongst anyone is ignorance against everyone.
Mm-hmm.
And Mike and I have been having conversations about racial profiling and discrimination. And he says, well, you don't see how people treat blind people. And, you know, because I see, I'm not one to be ignorant like that. I've never been rude to someone that's blind. So I never realized the discrimination and the verbal abuse and how people treat people who are blind.
Hmm.
And the young man that called in the other day really put the icing on the cake on how I just don't understand how people could be that mean.
What did he say?
I don't know what we were talking about, but whatever it was, he was just, you know, telling, you know, blind folks, we'll just get over it, get on and push past it. Well, it's cool until you don't have your eyesight.
Yeah.
And when there are people who have serious handicaps, and they are functioning, feeling, emotional human beings, and people sometimes treat them as they're some subhuman alien.
Mm-hmm.
And that they don't have feelings, and sometimes they say things that are very, very, very cruel.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's like people who go out and pick up dogs and then kick them.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same thing. You know, you wonder, why do you do that? You know, you're supposed to have compassion and be tolerant on those who are less fortunate than you. Not that they are substandard to you, but if you are completely full-seeing, full-functional, and you see somebody with a cane, you should be kind enough to walk them across the street and not try to steal their money.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it was just very interesting to see that live and in full color.
Yeah, we just generally speaking, we all need to treat each other a little bit better. I was thinking about that on the way over here today. You know, it's the comment I made when I walked into the studio here was that everything is so hard, and you know it. Today we need to reach out to each other and get along and help when we can and be considerate, be tolerant. Everybody, and it would be a whole lot better world. I just don't see that right now. Everybody's too angry.
Me, me, me.
Yeah,
me, me, me,
it's all
me,
about
me.
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 Yeah.
Tracy, I could throw another person into the mix. I'm just sitting here thinking,
yeah, go ahead.
And listening to every word you're saying very intently, you know, and just trying to get in touch with feelings as well as just thoughts. I'm also thinking a bullet affected the black community when Malcolm X was executed.
But it affected the world, but it didn't impact the change that Martin Luther King did.
I would not
and
put
see,
that at the same
the PBS,
level. But...
The PBS special that Mark was talking about, mm-hmm. and it was talking about, you know, assassinations that changed the world.
Well, the special was on Lindbergh. It was on Lindbergh's The kidnapping, the Lindbergh kidnapping.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And they had a guy on who was talking about three events that touched America's soul, and he talked about Lincoln, the Lindbergh baby, and Kennedy.
Mm-hmm.
And I agree, Martin Luther King should be in that list.
In that list.
Yeah.
But and that's where, and I, the reason why I brought it up the way that I did is because it's a teachable moment to let people who are not of color
Yeah.
to understand, they leave out a lot of people of color who had impact because it's an oversight.
Yeah. I was working
not because of the race, just because it's not on their forefront of their mind unless they need to use it. So when Glenn Beck decided he wants to march on Martin Luther King Day, how it comes across when it's another moment they don't want to remember it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And people don't see how a person of color, a black person, would view the opposing sides. How is it that he wants to use this now?
Yeah.
But when we're sending out accolades, they didn't want to use it then.
Yeah. I remember where I
Even
was.
When
it, I'm sorry, Tracy, go ahead.
You remember where you were?
Yeah, I remember where I was when I heard the word about Dr. King. And
why don't I remember where I was?
I was working night shift in a printing plant, and I was shocked at half the room's response, and the other half was like, hurt, and you know, the white and black people there were hurt, but there were some people who were just racial about it, and it was like, come on, not now, not at this moment. You know, this is not the time to even say what you're thinking. You know, just if you can't be respectful, then just don't say anything. And I remember the night Bobby Kennedy was killed.
Oh, you remember that night?
I remember that, and I remember where I was. I was working for a newspaper at the time, and I was in the we're waiting for the presses to go on and stuff, and we got the word. And so we had a changeover, and one guy who was like the closest thing, well, he was a self-professed John Bircher. And what his comment, he turned to me because I was standing next to him at the bench, and he turned to me and said, two down and one to go.
Oh. Wow.
Yeah, I'll never forget that.
Oh.
I was like shocked. Dude, come on, this is somebody's father, somebody's husband. He's a political candidate. Our process, again, is truncated with a bullet, you know? And yeah, two down and one to go. I'll never forget he made that comment.
That was that year was a tumultuous year. And, you think back on that year. I graduated from high school that year. And, the stuff that was going on in the world, they sent a girl home from graduation practice because she wore culottes to graduation.
Oh, wow.
Practice. And I'm thinking, the world's going to hell and back in a basket, and you're worried about what this girl's wearing to graduation practice.
It's
a different world.
They were sending kids home from – now, I graduated the year before you, and they were so – they were
okay,
so disciplined.
Guys, okay. Listen, you guys got to start talking. What year was that?
68. I graduated.
Okay.
68.
I graduated 67. In my freshman year of high school, they were sending kids home because they were wearing too much grease in their hair with and looking too much like greasers and hoods. You know?
those were my liberal days. I was working for Eugene McCarthy here because I was anti-war and was out campaigning for him. I hated Lyndon Johnson. And McCarthy seemed okay to me, was the quintessential outsider, an all-around nice guy, even though I look at it, I'm thinking, what was I thinking before I saw the light? But it just was a really, really scary time. And people don't appreciate what we were going through and the stuff that was going on.
It was a blur to me those years, 68, 69, 70 in there, the Kent State shooting in Ohio there where you are, and, the death of people like Jimi Hendrix and Janis Joplin and all that that came in there. And, it was a very tumultuous time, toward the end of Johnson and the beginning of Nixon. And this country was like, wow, every night there was something on the news. And, of course, we're landing on the moon. We're curing this, we're curing that, we're doing all this great stuff, and we're debating about the SST, should we build it, and then meanwhile we've got all this other stuff going on in the streets, the protests, and I was like you, I was schizophrenic in those days too. I was in Army ROTC for a while till they found out it was blind and threw me out, but I also took over an ROTC building in protest to the bombing, expanding the war into Cambodia.
We marched on Jones Hall over here at Youngstown State. We're going to take over. We closed down Wick Avenue. We marched into Jones Hall, but Youngstown's a commuter college. They walked in the front door and then they walked out the back door to go home for dinner. So kind of defeated the purpose.
I have a question now.
Yes, ma'am.
Why is it that we don't see the protests and the outrage for the crazy stuff that goes on in America today? I'll be right back. You're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSLM AM 600. The number is 347-945-5229. We'll see you on the other side of my break.
Unique. Individualized, and promoting a healthy, active lifestyle. Fit Family on Route 46 in Austin Town designs a personal exercise program just for you, with your own personal trainer. Each client at Fit Family in Austin Town receives their own certified personal trainer with their membership. And at Fit Family, we listen to you and design a fitness program to the type of fitness you're looking for, with all the equipment you need for strength training, cardio, Pilates, and more. We also offer classes in Zumba, yoga, kickboxing, step, 5K training, line dancing, silver sneaker, and real rider cycling. Fit Family is open Monday through Saturday with hours that fit your schedule. Find out more about Fit Family in Austintown. Call 330-793-4466. That's 330-793-4466. Visit us on the web at fitfamily1.com. That's fitfamily1.com. Do you depend on your computer? Then you know that a virus on your computer is bad news. But there is something you can do. Just call this number, 330-759-9700. That's 330-759-9700. That's the number for Ambassador Technologies in Liberty Township. Ambassador Technologies specializes in virus removal and restores your computer to full performance. We also specialize in computer repair, from desktops, laptops, laptop screens, laptop power supplies, laptop batteries, and hardware updates. And when your business needs networking, Ambassador Technologies is the place to go. Ambassador Technologies, Youngstown's best for computer repair, networking, website development, and even low-cost business cards and publishing. Call Ambassador Technologies at 330-759-9700. Online at ambastech.com. That's ambassTech.com.
Your car will look brand new after a professional cleaning at Kingley Hand Wash and Wax. All work is done by hand, which protects the paint, leaves no water spots. You won't believe how good it looks. Walk-ins are always welcome, or book an appointment for a full detailing. Thursday is Ladies' Day. Get an additional service free with any regular wash. Kingley offers pickup and drop-off service. They'll take you to work, an appointment, and pick you up when your car is ready. If it's not Kingley, it's not clean. Kingley Hand Wash and Wax, 309 West Midlothian Boulevard.
I want to be a rock star.
I want to be a fireman.
I want to be a baseball player.
I'll be a chef.
Cause it's like the coolest job ever.
You get to ride around in a giant bus.
The chefs get to cook yummy cheeseburgers, pizza, and chocolate, everything.
I would be the pitcher because they get to do something all the time.
They get right on those trucks and never have to stop for red lights or nothing.
And you get to play really loud.
If your child is sick over and over again, it could be PI, a defect in the immune system that affects millions. Early detection can give children a chance to dream. Visit us at info4pi.org or call 1-866-INFO-4-PI.
My plan is to be the youngest pitcher to ever throw a no-hitter.
All right, a cookbook that's just for kids.
I know I'm going to be famous because my mom and dad call me the little star.
And that pole you slide down? Cool!
Jeffrey Modell Foundation. 25 years of helping children reach for their dreams.
I'm Harper Keegan with your headline news. A house explosion in Youngstown blew out neighbors' windows and shattered glass blocks away. It happened on Cohasset Drive yesterday. No one was inside of the house, and it's unclear what caused the explosion, but firefighters say the gas was on. Youngstown will soon have a high school for autistic students. Construction crews are hard at work transferring an old insurance building on Market Street into the potential development high school for autism. The three-story building with 8 classrooms is set to open this fall and is still accepting students. It'll be the third school of its kind in Ohio. The school will offer speech therapy classes, life skills, and it'll have a fine arts learning center. The school is still looking to raise more than $500,000. And Warren City Council members are looking at legislation that might cut down on copper theft. A councilman is proposing that scrap yards be required to wait 24 to 48 hours before paying for metals. The councilman says that way workers can determine if the metal was obtained legally. For WSOM News, I'm Harper Keegan.
Howdy, howdy. I'm so excited. Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce is at the grocery store. That's right. You can get Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce right at the store. That means you can put back the thick and muddy. If you can't taste the meat, what's the point? Pick up the smooth and delicate Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce. Next time you find yourself down at the market, remember, Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce, the full cup of love.
Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce is now available at the grocery stores. Ask your grocer for a cup of love.
If you can't taste the meat, then what's the point?
1-800-530-WSOM or 347-945-5229. Call in now to talk to Tracy and friends on Newstalk 600 WSOM.
When I was 17, it was a very good year.
Mark, what? You can't put your turn your nose up. It's Frank.
It was a very good year.
This song makes me cry.
Why?
Oh, it's such a sad song. You get to be my age, you'll understand.
We hide from the light.
What a sad song.
On the village green. When I was 17.
Yeah, it was. It wasn't.
Oh, but he's reaching the autumn of his years.
When did he do this? Do you remember?
I don't know the year he made it. It's one of my favorite Sinatra songs. It makes me cry.
Cry? It's Frank.
You guys were reminiscing
about the 60s, and you're talking about an era where you remember what happened in 1964, and I remember what happened in 1964.
And we were four?
No, in 64 we were born. In 64 we were born, and it was a very good year. It was a great year, and I almost made it to 65.
Yeah,
because I'm in December 28th.
Yeah,
so I almost made it to 65. So 64 was a very good year. Civil rights came into act. You know, the voting rights. 64, great year. I was born.
I'm glad you can remember. I was born in 72, so it's 1950. Too long.
That's not too long.
Now, you look at what's going on today, and we were talking during the break that the people that are controlling things right now are, you know, they go directly back to the extreme left wing of those movements that developed in the 60s and going into the 70s. Barack Obama's a product of those people, and people don't seem to realize it. They don't remember the Weather Underground and all of those organizations.
Yeah.
So when they say that he was friends, who's the guy he was friends with?
Bill Ayers.
Bill Ayers. They don't know who that is.
Most people don't.
Because they don't teach it. You know, here's what these people did. It was idealistic, but the idealism got lost somewhere along the way. Which, by the way, I'm going to do my plug. They're doing Hair at the Oakland Theater this weekend, and they're going to let this weekend and next weekend. And these local productions are usually pretty good of these plays. And that was a really racy Broadway play back in the 60s when it came out.
Hair,
because everybody got naked on stage.
Yeah, Old Calcutta, too. Remember the one?
Old Calcutta. I saw Old Calcutta. Yeah. Did you see Old Calcutta?
Well, I didn't see it. I listened to the music. If I saw it, I probably wouldn't have left. Hair is nostalgic for two reasons, Mark. Those of us who lived that generation remember the play when we were young, and remember we had hair when we were young.
Yeah, boy, amen to that.
There's somewhere at the University of Connecticut, there's pictures of me with, you know, hair down past my shoulders, standing on a ledge on the second story of a building playing my Stratocaster guitar, playing the Star Spangled Banner or something, you know?
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, yeah.
I never dressed that way. I always had short hair, wore khakis, penny loafers, and I dressed that way now. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
What?
Oh, you were a holdout.
Yeah, I know. I was a major. Listen, everybody else was having free love, free sex, free drugs, free this, and I was working for Richard Nixon. You know,
well, you deserve not to have any sex.
I missed out on all of that stuff.
He wasn't getting any. Why should you?
That's right.
Tough. Hey, you're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSLM AM 600. It is free for all, and they're having free love in the 60s with the Flower Children with Mark and Not So Blind Mike. Alex, you got anything to say? Are you really working today and just hanging out and listening to us? He is there.
He's there. You know what we had up here in Youngstown, Tracy? I don't know if you remember or not. I was a big Motown fan. I still am a big Motown fan. And back then, the bands here, and Jeff probably remembers, they had a bunch of white soul bands up here. The black bands didn't go into the clubs. It was they brought in white bands into the clubs, and it was a lot of fun. And, you know, you think back on it, like, you know, why would they be all white? We used to go to the Limelighter, which was down...
because they didn't want the black
guys. On Market. And then we went over to Wedgwood. There used to be a nightclub there, a pretty big nightclub. I forget the name
of it. Did you really ask me why they did that?
Yeah.
The same reason why they do it now.
They still do it?
Yeah.
No, sir.
Yeah, they do.
Really?
Yeah.
That's no good.
No.
But change that, Tracy. Jeez.
Right. Listen, a lot of it had to do with, you know, not wanting the black guys to date the white girls.
Yeah.
They had a lot to. You got to realize James Brown came to Youngstown and got arrested.
Yeah.
Only in Youngstown could that happen.
Yeah,
at
I
that
know.
Time.
In Youngstown knows.
And we have a reputation here, but they tell me.
Tell me about. Listen, you're striking some memories in my brain. James Brown came to Youngstown. When did this happen?
Before my time.
I know it was before your time, because I think organization brought him here. I think it was the Newman Student Organization that brought James Brown here.
I don't know. I can't remember what he did. I just know that if you go down to Youngstown Police Department, you can pull up his police record.
Wow.
Do
you know what he was arrested for?
No, I don't remember. Actually, somebody sent me years ago a copy of the police report, but they arrested him here in Youngstown.
You're making me remember too many things. When I went to the University of Connecticut, I joined a fraternity because it was a local fraternity, and it was the only fraternity that Louis Armstrong ever accepted an honorary brothership to, and that's because in 1961 or two, he played a concert at the university in Connecticut. And then hung out with the guys for a while afterward, and then said, "Well, we got a long ride ahead of us. We got to get some sleep." "What do you mean you got a long ride ahead of you, Louis?" And he said, "We got to get back to New York State." There wasn't a hotel in Connecticut that would give them a room.
Oh. Really?
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And this is east of Hartford, in the rural area of Connecticut. And so the guys in the fraternity.
What year was
said,
that?
1962 or 61, somewhere in there. So the guys at the fraternity. Said, "Look, guys, why don't you just come over? You could crash at the fraternity at the dorm, you know, where we had the fraternity." And so they just moved beds around. Some guys went home for the weekend. There were beds available. This, that. We just did what we had to do to accommodate the entire band. The next morning, Louis gets up and he's walking around and he's looking at some of the past fraternity photos from the day when the fraternity was founded in 52, 53. And he said, "These black people in these photos, who are they?" "What do you mean, who are they?" "They're fraternity brothers." And he goes, "Why do you have black people in your fraternity?" And we told him the story. The fraternity was started by a bunch of guys who were in Korea together. They had no time for the racial nonsense when they got back home. These are guys who fought and lived and died together. And they were part of a national fraternity. And the national president came up one time and had noticed there were black brothers. And he said, "We don't allow this," because the national was down south. And we said, "Really?" That guy ended up naked and in the pond in January, and that's when they broke. That's when they became a local fraternity and not a national anymore. And we always had an open door policy. And when Louis saw that, he said, "I'd be honored to be your brother." And we were the only fraternity he ever accepted a brothership from.
Wow,
that's a great story.
But you got to understand the point of the story too. Is I mean, I'm proud to be associated with that fraternity. I mean, they took a blind guy in. When you think about that, you know, fraternities are all about the pretty people.
Yeah.
No, they're not. Where do you get the pretty people? I see a whole lot of brothers in the fraternity. Ain't none of them pretty. I'm confused.
Well, they got money then. There's a reason why they
did.
It isn't just because they're good people.
Did you join a fraternity when you were in school, Mark?
No, I belong to Newman Student Organization.
What is the Newman Student Organization?
It was the Catholic organization up at Youngstown State. There used to be a church at the corner of Wick, right across from the library. It was called St. Joseph's. And the Newman organization had a building behind it. And so most of my friends went to Mooney or Ursuline, and I was not a big fraternity fan. Down at Ohio State, I stayed at the graduate dorm, and we kind of acted like a fraternity, but I just wasn't a big fraternity fan back then. It was a different time. I mean, they were, you know, if you look at Animal House, that's what it was. We talked about that earlier. A lot of fraternities were that way.
We were. We loved
it.
We were just crazy. We had a lot of the sports trophies, even though we weren't the jocks. We did it on spirit. When I see some of these movies about, you know, the the underdog team that beats the other team because they're a little clever, and you see them pull little stunts and stuff. Well, that was us for sure. We outraised money for charity. We did more. Because we were just full of spirit because we were the misfits that nobody else wanted. So we had something to prove that we were better than them.
I want to go back to something that you said. You talked about Louis Armstrong and giving him a place to stay. You know, do you realize that your professional athletes during the early 60s, when they went to play and they played in the major leagues, they actually slept in the boiler room?
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah.
I can believe it.
Well, Sammy Davis Jr. used to talk about that. As big as a star as he was in the 60s, he had to go in through the kitchen in Las Vegas to play his gigs.
That's correct.
And it's interesting that the stories that you're talking about now, these weren't southern states.
No, this is New York City.
No, Connecticut at that point was the richest state in the union and the most education, 98% literacy, and yet Louis Armstrong had to go 3 hours to cross the border into New York State before he could get a room.
This is why when we have this conversation about the Voting Rights Act, mm-hmm. and they find it unconstitutional because they didn't strike down the whole act. What they did was they struck down the 9 states that they had to go to the federal government, and it needs to be unilateral. This is where we need to educate people. It's not about the 9. It's about the sum total of all of it, so it's equal for everyone to have access to the ballot box without any discrimination and without any loopholes. And they have hijacked, as we talked a little bit earlier about the media and the misinformation and the facts. They hijack the information so that you really don't get into the crux and the gist of it, not realizing you don't want to go after 9, you want to go after 50.
Yeah.
Everyone should have access to the freedom of the rights of the United States of America when it comes to the ballot box. And there should be, and this, no matter what color, if you're a citizen, you should be treated as such. That's why I think I have a problem with the young man who was the Boston bomber.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
I have a problem when he might be a domestic terrorist, but once you become a citizen of the United States, you're supposed to be treated as such. I have a problem with snooping on American citizens that you don't tell them. You know, it's okay if you snoop, if you tell me you snoop, but I got a problem if you snoop and don't tell me.
Because
American citizens, that's what makes democracy in America so great. Mm-hmm. We don't snoop on our citizens.
Like, I have a real problem with these no-knock warrants.
I have a problem with that.
Me too.
You can't come in my house and not tell me.
Right. And okay, I don't, you know, unless you're after somebody that's proven to be violent. I mean, you're trying to take down somebody who's killed, you know, a whole bunch of people and he's holed up in a compound and he's, there I can understand. But not when you're just going after somebody because it's alleged they sold some weed or they did, you know, where the crime is not a violent crime. Because even if you think they're armed, you could evacuate the neighborhood, surround the place, and just cut their utilities and wait them out. You don't have to go in because so many times they're going in, they're shooting up people, and then they find out they're in the wrong house. Where's the justice there?
And see that, I don't think we understand that.
And it's just another right under the Constitution, another thing that they're just ignoring, you know.
And every knock at the Constitution erases the fabric of America, which makes terrorism win.
Yeah.
Because I really don't think they understand the Islamic thought process on the erosion of the freedoms of America. They're not trying to kill you. All they're trying to do is erase your freedoms and cause it to be as theirs.
Yeah.
Anytime you give any group – I'm sorry, Mark.
No, go ahead.
I was just going to say, anytime you give any group uncontrolled power with no oversight like that, you lose everybody. I mean, they become a bully.
The process is kind of interesting. And when Obama talked down at Ohio State 7 or 8 weeks ago, or whatever the graduation was down there. I think he spelled out, you know, the general philosophy of these folks, which is he said to the students, you can't be afraid of the government because the government is us. Well, not really?
It's supposed to be.
Well, even if it is, do you want it to be? I mean, the Constitution gives checks and balances to us because people are people. And the brilliance of the Constitution is that it protects everybody's freedom and it provides checks and balances. And what he, in effect, said was we don't need those checks and balances because we believe in that it's us. That's not what this is. We have a republic, not a democracy.
Yeah, the innate goodness of Democrats or Republicans.
Yeah.
That's what he wants us to believe in, and I'm sorry. No.
No.
No. I trust an absolute stranger on the street more than I would trust the government.
No.
Yes.
Well, the government, see, the problem is, and I agree with your friend, Mark, the government is not we and they. The government is us. The problem is we've given it to somebody else, and they've hijacked it. But the government is actually you. Now, do I want you in my business? No. But then I don't want me in my business either because I should be able to control my own environment.
You can't rely on democracy is everybody's going to vote on everything and the majority wins. That's not what we have.
Hmm.
We have a republic. If we relied on us, look at the history of this country, we wouldn't be doing so good right now because us, you know, had some really, you know, and that's not a bad thing. I mean, there's fads and people collectively go off in strange directions. And you know the people elected Hugo Chavez, the people elected Adolf Hitler, the people elected lots of strange people, and the checks and balances are supposed to work. The problem we're facing is that these checks and balances seem to be collapsing right now, and they need to be reestablished and honored. And that's not what's going on. You know, we have an imperial presidency that Richard Nixon could only dream of right now. I you know, he just said, well, I'm going to do it this way, and he rules by decree. Well, here's the law. Well, I'm not going to enforce that part. I'm going to enforce that part, but only against you. You don't have to listen. By definition, that's an imperial presidency. What are we doing? And you know, the Supreme Court, you know, has at least come somewhat in. Congress has been ineffective. You know, where's the Republican leadership in Congress? Not there.
Where's the leadership? Well,
You know, Boehner needs to be, you know, if Newt Gingrich were Speaker of the House, we wouldn't be having these problems.
I don't think so. When you come back, we'll have to have that conversation because I don't think so. Write that down.
I
don't think so because I don't think we understand there's only so much you can do when you're only one out of two.
But it's enough. And there's Boehner has not provided any vision. Newt Gingrich provided a vision. He provided a framework. He stood up and said, this is what we believe in, and we're going to fight for this. John Boehner, I'm sure, is a very nice guy. But I just don't see the leadership coming out from the speaker. And we need to have a strong Speaker of the House who can stand up to him and say, Mr. President, we're not doing that. And, you know, Boehner just kind of mealy-mouths around.
I'm gonna save that topic for.
Okay.
I understand where you're coming from. I don't necessarily completely agree with the whole premise because of the right now when I look at Congress as a whole, for years it's been broken. In 2008, the only thing they were getting done was naming mailboxes and post offices.
Sure.
And it's been like this for some time.
There's no leader.
Well, even if there's no leader, the leader you're only as strong as your weakest link.
The Speaker of the House should be the third most influential position in the American government.
That is correct.
And it's not right now.
No. But I'm not quite sure if it's the personality or if it is the atmospheric climate.
You've got John Roberts, who I believe is providing good leadership to the Supreme Court.
Some days.
Although I disagree with some of his decisions. You know, we'll talk about him. Then over here you've got the House and the Senate. Well, the Senate's Democrat, and what's his face? I can't stand his guts, the skinny guy from Nevada.
Who, John McCain?
No.
Oh, Nevada.
the weasel? Why can't I? I tell you, I'm having a senior moment right now, Tracy. Save me. Who's the majority leader in the Senate? Harry Reid.
Oh, him.
Yeah.
He's not skinny, is he?
Yeah, he's a skinny little weasel.
Have you heard this song, Mark?
Which is this? Blurred Lines.
He's a man. How do you know that?
I know Blurred Lines. I like Robin Thicke.
Mark, you're too old to know this like that.
That's a great song. His other one's good too, all tied up. That's
this guy. Well, tomorrow Jeff and I'll be here, and we talked a little bit on this Monday, so I guess I'm closing the week out with it. But this song is crossed like gender, race, age. It's crossed everything. What is up with this? I don't even know what he's talking about.
It's a toe tapper. You don't want to know what he's talking about. Listen to the words.
I don't want to know.
You don't want to know. This is the one I was talking about yesterday. I downloaded. Words are a little lippy.
It is a toe tapper, though.
It is a toe tapper.
Hey, guys, we're done for the day. I love you. Mark Manji, we love you. Alex didn't say a word, but we love you, too. Good to see everybody inside the chat room. Tomorrow we'll be back with open mic. The number is 347-945-5229. Have a good afternoon. Be safe, and we'll talk to you again. God bless.
It's personal. The local talk show that keeps you thinking about local, regional, national, and global issues. Let's get
the latest from ABC News. I'm Joan Bennett. Ariel Castro, the man convicted of imprisoning and assaulting three women in his Cleveland home for a decade, has been sentenced to life in prison without the possibility of parole. Earlier, Castro apologized but said he isn't a monster. He said he's sick. He'd been sexually abused himself as a child. Judge Michael Russo.
You have not been a victim. You've been a victimizer.
The women disappeared separately between 2002 and 2004 when they were 14, 16, and 20 years old. Michelle Knight spoke to Castro directly.
Her voice cracking with emotion, Michelle Knight spoke of the years she spent being abused by Ariel Castro and missing her son, who was just 2 years old when she was kidnapped.
Days never got shorter.